Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Hyundai, who question everything to create the best Tucson ever. Learn more at Hyundai.com. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back again to talk with you about Survivor's most arbitrary and reductive here on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. Today, we're talking about Survivor's most iconic catchphrases, and here with a man who has so many iconic catchphrases. Here he is, Mike Blue. Mike, give us your iconic catchphrase.
I mean, it's right above my head. Going full bloom today, baby. Sun's out, so is the greenery. We're ready to talk about Survivor catchphrases over the years.
I know you were going to say sun's out, guns out.
No, I feel like that would be copying from someone else's catchphrase. Sun's out, the greenery is out.
Or buns out.
Original. Yeah. Take it however you want.
Full bloom. Sure. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. We missed you last time round here. Of course, had a really great time with Shane and Gus and Sasha Joseph talking about some iconic merge tribe names. But Rob, you and I have merged once more. Happy to have you back into the fold and very happy to be talking about what I think up to this point might be the most out of the box suggestion yet for an Outwit Outplay Outlist podcast.
Okay, I didn't think this is too outside the box. I was actually very excited to talk about this one here today. Of course, I got to talk to Mike Bloom and Shannon Gus the other night when we talked about episode number 2 of Survivor South Africa. Definitely check that out if you've been following. And if you haven't been, what's your problem? Go ahead, check out Survivor South Africa. What are you doing?
There's new Survivor out there. Like, are you really going to wait until fall? We're doing the marshmallow test right now, but you're also getting 3 marshmallows right now.
Yeah.
So, like, go eat the marshmallows. Check it out. There are resources online. It's fantastic. It's been a lot of fun so far. And then when you do come back and listen to Rob and Shannon and I like prattle on nonsense for 2+ hours.
Patience is a virtue, but don't be a hero. Just watch, go watch some Survivor right now and check out Survivor South Africa. But we are very excited to have another hero here with us here today because that, though he is an accomplished TV writer, you know him from Rick and Morty, BoJack Horseman. Of course, the Snakes, Rats, and Goats podcast. He's not here for the accolades or for the credit. He's here just because he loves Survivor and came up with the idea for Survivor's most iconic catchphrases. Here's the great Scott Chernoff.
That I do. I love Survivor. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Yes.
Mike, I'm really excited to be here.
Scott, it's always such a treat that you always give such nice comments about these episodes, talking with T-Bird. Yeah, that we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you. I mean, I got to be honest, the last year and a half since this whole world changed was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a tough year. And I have really gotten a lot out of Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott.
All those shows you mentioned. And I wait for them. I adore them. I love listening. I am obsessed with Survivor. And you've given me so much content to listen to. The least I can do is
be here.
Give you some random compliments on Twitter.
Yes, we'll really appreciate it.
I mean, exactly. I think I can speak on behalf of both Rob, myself, and literally anyone who's part of this network that, like, random compliments mean much more than you think they do when you send them out. So maybe this is, like, a good piece of advice to everyone listening out there. Send out a random compliment to someone. It doesn't even need to be a podcaster. Like, someone you admire in your life. You never know how much you'll make their day by doing that.
Pay it forward.
Yeah,
that's my catchphrase.
So good. Because last week on the RJP Rewind, I watched Run's House with Chappelle. And I think that maybe at the end of each day, Mike, I think I'm going to just draw myself a bath and send 5 nice tweets to people.
I think that makes sense. Listen, WWRRD, what would Rev Run do? And I think in this case, Rev would indeed soak up in both gratitude and bubble bath.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Survivor's most iconic catchphrases. Scott, you are a lover of TV. It is your chosen profession. Do you have some favorite TV catchphrases that come to mind when we talk about catchphrases?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, the first one that really comes to mind, I'm going to date myself here, is probably Jimmy Walker, JJ.
Dynamite.
I mean, that was a huge one when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Fonz had many awesome catchphrases.
Hey.
But I think some of my favorite catchphrases now have come from Survivor.
Really?
And hence, here we are. I was thinking about some of these, and I thought, these are really good catchphrases.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Yeah. Scott, do you have a chosen catchphrase in life?
It's time for bed, kids.
Said at any hour of the day. It's time for bed.
What they hear often from me is 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my catchphrase. 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes till the fun is over.
Yeah. My catchphrase, I think, is anybody even listening to me?
Yeah.
I like how catchphrase just essentially subs in for like existential parental feelings.
I gotta tell you, it is, it's been a tough year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, Scott,
home a lot.
Happy to have you here to talk about Survivor's most iconic catchphrases. Of course, you joined Akiva and myself. We talked about season 3, episode 7 of Three's Company. Is there a Three's Company catchphrase?
It's a good question. I don't know that there is. Most of the recurring comedy on Three's Company is physical.
Yeah.
Mm. Is there not like a Mr. Burley, like, oh, like some sort of, I don't know, noise he makes?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got like Mr. Roper and his turns to camera and, smiling mm-hmm. right past the fourth wall. I am a huge Three's Company fan, although that episode that we were discussing on Renap was probably not
fine.
The best
Three's
Company episode. Not typical of the show. And I hate to let you down. I can't think of a Three's Company catchphrase.
All right. Well, if there is one, Twitter will tell us.
Yeah, please, Twitter, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got in my bio, I believe I say that, on Twitter, I shout out to Survivor, Twin Peaks, and Three's Company.
Yeah.
And if I could just watch three shows for the rest of my life, that would be it.
All right, is there a Twin Peaks catchphrase?
Is it
probably
damn fine,
damn fine coffee? Probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mike's got it.
Something
at Full Bloom Studios, they're armed with a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, I've never seen Twin Peaks, but that's literally the one thing that I know is damn fine cup of coffee, which is now applicable. That's my own existential parental.
I think it's time for you to watch it and podcast about it.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, might be in the works. Let's talk Survivor catchphrases here, because I'm sure people are looking at this. This is the reason why I think I initially claimed that it was out of the box, is because I think, to the point that was just made, Survivor is an unscripted show, but I don't think many people think, oh, yeah, there are catchphrases for Survivor characters there's no how you doing on Survivor, right?
Right.
There's no yada, yada, yada on Survivor. So I think...
But is there?
That's the question we're here to answer. So Scott and I talked. This list is sort of a corroboration of Scott's submissions and submissions from the RHAP patrons. And
right.
I think we sort of are defining catchphrases by two different terms under one umbrella term. There is, much like in a scripted sense, there's one that a player repeats often over the course of Survivor. Again, much like a catchphrase on a scripted show where they would say it again and again and again to rapturous studio audience applause. But I think there are those where someone says it on screen, they don't say it again, but it has become repeated within the Survivor community.
Sure.
It's almost become like a catchphrase from the fandom more so than a catchphrase.
Iconic line. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. It became instantly iconic.
So a catchphrase can kind of catch on, so to speak,
yeah.
with the viewers, with the public.
I like that.
Or it could catch on within the show.
Yeah. And we haven't had any new ideas for merch in a while. So maybe we have like a shirt with all of the catchphrases.
So one of my ways to define a catchphrase is beyond what, whether or not it caught on. That's huge. But also, can I see it on a t-shirt?
Or a lunchbox.
So it's funny you mentioned it. Or a lunchbox where just like that person's face, that player's face and the catchphrase. Will it work?
Mm-hmm.
Will I be able to see that shirt and go, oh, yeah.
Maybe the shirt should have all the catchphrases and all the faces.
Maybe.
Now,
and they should be on a lunchbox on the shirt.
Ooh, there you go.
Works on levels. Though maybe
it's
what
just
we
say
should do
tubby
is
lunchbox.
Oh, no. We could pull a Heroes versus Villains reunion.
Here.
Let's do a composite of all the faces that are included from the players.
Maybe we could combine all of the catchphrases into one
maybe.
Simple catchphrase.
Ooh,
maybe
you know what?
We
you
could
know
put
what we
every word ever spoken on Survivor and get them onto one.
I think we need let's could someone make a word cloud of the catchphrases? Maybe that's the happy medium here. there, the neutral box.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
get
it.
Get it all on one microchip.
Word Cloud Lee. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
You are so steeped in Survivor. The word Cloud Lee I've just watched, came right out of you.
What, 23 seasons? I don't even know how many seasons I've watched. In that's all I do now. And we're, guess
you skipped one. I mean, you got lazy and took a week off.
Yeah, I skipped one, but I'm making up for it. We're going to be going into double time here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Gonna watch 3 seasons in 2 weeks.
Now I'm excited.
Okay.
You're giving me more content. Thank you.
But more to do. All right. So, Mike, how did we want to approach the list?
So I just randomized it, but we're going to go through about 25 or so catchphrases here. Now, they run the gamut from players to maybe people who have been part of the show from the beginning.
Maybe.
And might be in every episode and might say some things as well. I did not do my hard and fast rule that I usually do with one catchphrase per player. I decided to open the field.
Open it
this
up.
Time because there are, I think, some quote machines in many regards. So, yeah, it's in a random order. It's in no particular order, but we're just going to go through them. I have the clips, so we can play them if people need a reminder of the catchphrase sound. But these are like 3-4. These are less than a vine's worth of catchphrases. That's the point of it as well, too, is, right? It's got to be like clippy. Got a hook
Clippy
people.
Yeah,
gotta be short.
Love that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What's Clippy's catchphrase? Can I help you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was
even
so Clippy's.
There's like, catchphrases like, hey, all around us.
Can I help you?
What's the RHAP catchphrase?
It looks like you're working on a form letter.
It looks like you're trying to come up with a catchphrase, and it's looking a little forced.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do like that. Rob's Clippy does sound like Adam Klein. I will admit to that.
Are you working on a marriage license?
It sounds like you found an idol in a podium. Can I help you with that?
Mm-hmm. That's a terrible idea. Okay.
Let's start here. Mm-hmm. I know that I wanted to put it in a random order, but I had to start with a big one. And I might start with the one that might be the consensus number one pick here. It's the only one that has been part of basically every Survivor episode since Jump. I'm, of course, talking about the inimitable catchphrase from one Jeff Probst.
The tribe has spoken.
Wow.
The tribe has spoken.
Who was that?
We're starting off with a big one.
Yeah.
So,
vote out was that?
Okay. So I have 2 clips here. Thanks to, of course, the great Derek behind the scenes. That first one was the very first person voted out, Sonia Christopher.
Yeah.
This is Jeff Probst doing the very last vote out that we have seen thus far, which is Sarah Lacina getting voted out of Survivor Winners at War.
The tribe has spoken.
From Sarah to Sonia, or Sonia to Sarah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a change of tone, in my opinion. Like, Jeff seems much more solemn with Sonia. Maybe it's just like 20 years of on the job has gotten to him at this point.
Now, you think he's more casual with it?
I think it's more so like a just part of the job type of thing, right? Like, whereas Sonia, this was very much a boots on the ground. We're all making this moment together. I feel bad. This is more so like, all right, I know what I got to do at this point.
Well, also, Sarah wasn't even technically voted out, so maybe there's a little hesitation in his mind. Like, did the tribe speak on this one?
Mm-hmm. Well, they did force her to a tie, so I guess the tribe did technically speak. I mean, that was an emotional vote out, the Sarah one, and I have not gone back and rewatched that since the finale of Winners at War. So,
but you will.
I will, one day. I'm looking forward to that.
You will soon.
The tribe has spoken. Scott, are people still saying that outside of Survivor?
I think they are. I think I hear it on the news, in politics. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one that has really transcended the media. I mean, it's gone beyond Survivor. It's gone beyond reality television. It's just come into the American cultural lexicon. And I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with on that one.
Yeah.
Mm. Can I read? I have a little bit on the origin story of the catchphrase, if you'll permit me here, because there's a bit of an oral history that was done on TV Insider from Jeff Probst and Mark Burnett specifically about this catchphrase. So Jeff said that, you know, obviously the biggest thing going on at the time, the thing that Survivor ends up sort of, you know, overshadowing is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And of course, again, if we're talking catchphrases, is that your final answer?
Is that your final answer?
Right.
Oh, maybe Clippy should sound like Regis instead.
Can I help you with that?
I think Regis could have a future, you know, joining Casey Kasem on the Wanda. Maybe as a guest.
Yeah, he's on a similar island as Casey Kasem.
Leave me be. That.
But essentially, they wanted to come up with that version of that. This is a quote from Jeff Probst. I had this big whiteboard, and anyone that walked by, I'd go, hey, imagine that you just got kicked out of this game. What would you want to hear? But none of the lines were working. And Mark Burnett said, oh, I don't think it's that big of a deal. The torch is enough. But my gut was really strong. I had to say something. And Mark said, well, Jeff, just say, well, obviously your tribe don't want you around no more. That was his exact quote. I said, yeah, that's the idea, but it just doesn't really roll off the tongue. And Mark was kind of frustrated and went, well, I don't know what to tell you, Jeff. The tribe has spoken, and that's the way it goes. There it was. Mark inadvertently said the greatest line ever.
From the mouths of babes. I kind of wish he had gone with the first draft. Your tribe don't want you around no more.
That's it.
But like, I guess
hit the streets.
Yeah, you have to say it in like a Cockney accent, like Sonia Kamir. Looks like your tribe don't want you around no more, puppet.
Looks like you're going to be having a spot of tea over at the island adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's just the thing. Listen, 20 years later, Jeff Probst did try a British accent in the Winners of War premiere, right? This could have just been brought in decades before the fact.
Would have been so great. Would have been so iconic. How come they never say TTHS?
I don't know if that's anyone...
Next.
Yeah, I guess that's next. I think if it moves into a series where people are like, what's Survivor doing? They're cutting all these things. Jeff doesn't even say the full phrase anymore. He just acronyms.
If they go all, you know, even more remote than they did at the Winners at War reunion, and he's just texting.
Yeah.
You can just text that in.
Shouldn't we do? I mean, we're going to 26 days. I mean, can't we shorten the acronym?
Yeah, we don't have time to say the tribe has spoken anymore.
I think what you can do is
Get the TikTok generation in.
Yeah, if they bring back the advent of hashtags, like that would have been a perfect thing to put on the lower third every time there's a tribal council. TTHS.
Yeah.
Those hashtags hold up really well on the rewatch, I bet.
If I go back and play, I'm going to vote for somebody. I'm going to say TTHS.
And they're going to say, what?
Mm-hmm. I'll write it on the parchment also, like in the lower third. I'm going to put my own hashtag on.
I love TTHS block of comedies on Friday nights on NBC.
That's what they're going to say. They're going to be like... Rob coming up with this new cable network of his that he's trying to shill out to people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that this one is great on a t-shirt, but it's still, it's pretty powerful. Yeah,
pretty sure it is available on a t-shirt from CBS.com, Mike.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember if this was part of our bidding war or whatever the game was that we did with The Amazing Race back in the day. Maybe if you put Matthew Gray Goobler on it saying TTHS, it's going to sell like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I guess that, what do you think? This is going right to the top?
I mean, I gotta think so. I know it's tough to set the bar high, but I think to Scott's point, this is one of those reality TV exit lines that I think has transcended the medium, right? Like, I can count the number of times that in pop culture, people have made reference to the tribe has spoken specifically when referencing Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta think, you know, I also think, no offense to that's tribe don't want you round no more, but I do think the tribe has spoken has like a really nice solemnity and officiality to it, right? Like it really sanctifies what tribal council is supposed to be and how important it has become in the game. It's maybe lost a little bit of its value in its words down the line, in that like now we have people playing idols and doing fire making challenges that most of the time the tribe hasn't actually spoken. It's just a couple of people. But I think it has such a lasting power, and it's one of the things that people still remember about the show to this day, no matter how much you've watched of it.
Yeah. Should they say that when you play an idol? You just silenced the tribe.
Not let the tribe speak tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, though, like in instances where someone had one vote, like when Lauren Rimmer gets voted out of Survivor HHH, I forgot if Jeff said the tribe has spoken or if he said, like, Ben has spoken, you know?
Mm-hmm. Probably say that at some point.
Twist on it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it works. I'd like to think that maybe there's something that's going to come in ahead of it. I'm open to that possibility, but it probably belongs in that top tier.
Okay. All right. Tribe has spoken. Worth playing for sure. We'll see exactly if anything can top it.
Exactly. If anything can snuff it out for the top spot.
Mm-hmm. If anything will say,
will speak. We are the
this
tribe,
list
and we
don't
will
want
speak.
You here no more.
Governor.
That's the thing. I think
you gotta add a governor.
If you add to any, if you run into any sort of like IP issues with this future T-shirt scheme, I think you could do like slight variations on the catchphrases, right? So instead of Jeff Probst, it would be like generic white man wearing an orange hat saying the tribe don't want you around here no more. That sort of is like the Palport version of it.
I was also going to throw out there, what about the tribe has Spokane and then we have like a little outline of Washington State.
That's going to sell really huge in Washington.
The lawyers come for us like, hey, that's our category. Like, hey, nope, we're talking about Spokane, Washington. The tribe
and we're
is
talking about one
Spokane.
Of the local, you know, indigenous tribes.
Oh, I like that. Or you could do like, oh, we're really big bikers. So we're doing the tribe has spoke N, referring to our good friend N.
That's why about TTHS works so great, Mike. We could be running with that.
I think, honestly, we might be able to make this a legitimate thing. Hashtag TTHS every time someone gets voted out as Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to catch on, especially with the youngest kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? All right, kids out there, if you are listening, I think it's still yearbook season. Instead of putting hashtag hags in there, have a great summer, put hashtag TTHS and see
TTHS.
If they get it.
TTHS. Okay.
TTHS.
If you're in the know, then you're, you know.
Yes.
It's a good way to identify fellow Survivor fans. I
also
think, well.
Could people stand for Tata High School.
Oh, I love meaning. That.
It's a double meaning.
I think next year's graduation caps are going to be full of these things. We don't want you around his head no more.
Go on. Get out of our school.
Yeah. I mean, graduation ceremony is a little bit like tribal council. Like, you walk up there, like, they get the thing, and then you walk off and go have your tea.
Yeah, walk of shame.
Yeah.
There's a lot of whispering going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to, a set of little jars and urns, and you have to bequeath.
Your fire token is like tuition to go to college.
Yeah, tuition, and then you have to make a decision. Do you go on to college or raise the mast?
It's exactly the same.
Yeah, you stand there, you just go, come on, God. Come on, where do I go?
Come on. Oh, man, that should have been on the list. Come on, God. Put it down for the sequel.
Okay. All right, Mike, what else do we have?
All right, well, let's move on here. Let's move on from Jeff Probst, though he will pop up a few more times over the course of this countdown. Let's move into one often quoted, I think, on this podcast. We are talking about the enigmatic Drew Christie from Survivor San Juan del Sur. As soon as I said his name, you know there's only one thing I can play.
Basically, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is definitely, obviously, I think the first one was more of an indicator of something that became a catchphrase on the show. This is something that became a catchphrase off the show. Drew Christie never again said, basically, I'm a badass, but I know it's something that a lot of Survivor fans like to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, how often do you use this quote in your daily life?
Constantly with my kids, especially as I try to impress them with all my moves. All my
this is
badass
why you got 2 minutes.
You know, I don't use this one, and I'm wondering how much, you know, it is it used a lot? You say you've heard it a lot. To me this is a classic, and it's a classic scene, it's a classic quote, but I feel like it's even better when you hear the whole thing. He goes on when he says, again, I'm a manipulator of the game. And then he has this really awkward laugh. And he's like, And that to me is sort of like the icing on the cake. So, you know, this is good to me, but I don't know how much it stands on its own as a catchphrase. What do you guys think?
Mike, is Drew Christie truly a badass?
I mean, is it one of those things where, like, if you have to say that you are, you probably aren't, right? Like, show, don't tell.
I think he's probably, though, kind of a badass. Like, this isn't like if Skinny Ryan told us, like, basically, I'm a badass.
But, like, how do we define badass, you know? Like, I would say to be honest,
what does Google
dumbass,
tell us?
I would say dumbass before badass when I'm thinking about you, to be completely honest.
Yeah, basically I'm a dumbass, but I think that would be like very like self-observant.
Yeah, which is maybe not Drew Christie's style.
Basically, my tribe don't want me here no more, governor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could see Drew Christie attempt a British accent as well.
So a badass is defined as something or someone cool or something or someone tough, rebellious, or aggressive. The definition of a badass is someone who's tough, mean, violent, or a bit aggressive.
Mm.
I mean, basically, I think he is.
You think our CBS series Badass as Ball Bearings is going to take wind, Rob, after this with that definition?
I don't see why not.
But this one is great because it's we're laughing at him.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really think he's a badass, do we?
Mm-hmm. He's like not a badass in terms of being good at Survivor.
Which is what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think to Scott's point, I think where the usage of this lies is almost sarcastically, right? It's got away with, getting a double meat at Chipotle, but didn't get charge for it. Basically, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
You know, like replying almost tongue in cheek about it.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
It does define Drew Christie. If Drew Christie wrote a book, Scott, I do think basically I'm a badass would be the working. If you were his publisher,
that's the only title I would give him a publishing deal for.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're not selling this book. I want a picture of him on the cover. Basically, I'm a badass. Yeah. The Drew Christie story.
Forward by Alec Christie.
Yeah. Saying my brother is actually really cool. He's really great with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just going to be a list of meat that he's going to go buy later on.
Mm-hmm. That's Alec Christie's forward.
Is that his?
Chorizo. fat bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's look at this on the board and see where it does. All right. So Drew Christie is basically I'm a badass. That's B-I-A-B. Would you say badass is one word?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Mm.
I feel like if you put a space hashtag between it, it means something different.
Hashtag B-I-A-B or hashtag B-I-A-B-A?
I think I'd say B-I-A-B-A.
I think Biaba sounds like a car you get in a third world country.
Yeah.
B-I-A-B-A.
Yeah.
And Badass was his name.
All right.
That's a good way to
remember
see it.
What you're playing for? It's a 2021 Biaba.
Comes with a bunch of meat in the trunk, courtesy of the Christie brothers.
Okay. All right, we got four tiers. We didn't even set this up at the top of the show. Worth playing for. My life is fine. Ain't no Hershey bar. And forget you, go home, goodbye. That's the worst one.
It's definitely not the worst.
Definitely not the worst. It's interesting. I think this is when we're going to have to start to weigh like what the criteria is. Because I think, does this define the character? Yes. Is this something I've heard? Yes. Is this iconic? I don't know how it measures up.
Mm.
In terms of his life, it's iconic. That's probably the most iconic thing he's said or done. But in the grand scheme of things, and we're going for iconic, not best. Okay. Well, Yeah, I'd say it's either high in Ain't No Hershey Bar or low. My
right,
life is fine.
Leave it at Ain't No Hershey Bar for now, and then we'll come back to it. Does that sound good, Mike?
I think that makes sense. I think we're still trying. It takes us a little bit, right, to ease our way into the water, get used to temperature. I think that's what we're doing right now, trying to figure out, like, how Drew compares to others right now. I think the best part of that catchphrase, by the way, is the word basically, right? Like, if it's just I'm a badass, you don't give a crap about that. But I think throwing that adverb in there really makes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially, if you were to really analyze this, basically, I am a badass.
Do you think that the tribe has spoken could have been improved by basically the tribe has spoken?
I think any of these could probably be improved by adding a basically.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like this. Does
We're
it pass the basically test?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right. Keep that in mind. Mike, what's next?
A catchphrase so iconic, it yearned its own earned its own parody song prior to the Wandoff even becoming a thing. Malcolm Freeberg, take it away.
Hold up, man.
Short and simple. Hold up, bro. Now here's an interesting thing. Some of these catchphrases are a little Mandela effecty in that there are some that have been like repeated and have become memorable catchphrases in the community when that person didn't actually say that particular phrase of words. Because I do believe in the clip, Malcolm is saying, hold up, Reynolds, and hold up, bro, was only coined by the great Lisa, who did the previous like Lego songs, right? Did a song called Hold Up, Bro, about Malcolm getting the idol from Reynolds.
That's correct.
He didn't say bro in that clip you just played?
I'm pretty sure he says, I'll play it again. I'm pretty sure he just says, hold up, Reynolds.
Hold up, Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's a little mumbled, but I think he says, hold up, Reynolds.
I think you're right. This is like, you know, play it again, Sam, which I don't think they say was never actually said in Casablanca.
Yeah, this is like the Luke, I am your father of Survivor.
Or beam me up, right. Scotty.
Talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't say beam me up, Scotty?
I don't think so.
My mind is just blown.
Mike, did they ever say that?
I can't remember how many times Kirk actually calls Montgomery Scotty. I feel like he always called him Mr. Scott.
Beam me up, Mr. Scott.
Yeah, that's too formal. Nobody's going to remember this to say that.
Beam me up, Mr. Scott.
Basically, beam me up. That's basically what they should have said.
Beam me up.
The ship don't want me around here no more.
James Tiberius Kirk does have a bit of that Drew Christie attitude, right? Like, basically, I'm a badass. I passed the Kobayashi Maru.
But
I sleep with Orion women.
Backed it up. He was a badass. He didn't get blindsided.
No
blindsides for Captain Kirk. Well, that's fascinating to me because it did. I mean, it came back. I think Max repeated it back in Worlds Apart. On our own, you know, I used to do the Survivor Snakes, Rats, and Goats podcast with Ryan Elder. We had a segment every week that we called Hold Up, Bro.
Yeah.
To kind of go back, what was the moment that you kind of rewound to watch again? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is, you've really rocked my world today. Okay. I didn't realize.
I mean, we are basically putting something in the mix that was never said on the show.
But I mean, it's something that I think helped inspire a catchphrase that has occurred in the community, right? Like, I don't think you would fault Star Wars for being like, well, it's actually not Luke, I am your father. But I think you give it credit in spawning at least some amalgamation of that catchphrase. Everything undergoes metamorphosis and change.
Okay.
Wow.
So, hold up, bro. It was big in the moment. Is it still big, Mike?
It's a big question, right? Because we are, what, nearly 8 years plus removed from Hold Up, Bro? I do feel like, it's a good representation of Malcolm specifically, right? That Malcolm is sort of like this bro-y character, but he's a big player as well. Because this was the moment when he, despite him having an idol in his pocket, he convinced Reynolds to play an idol on him. So I think if you're thinking about like Malcolm Freeberg moments that Mike Bloom does not point and laugh at, this is one that definitely comes to mind. I think to your point, Rob, though, the question is, when it stacks up against everyone, not just Malcolm, how is it going to fall?
Yeah. Scott, is this a very iconic catchphrase for you?
I feel like it's a semi-iconic catchphrase.
Yeah.
It's not top of mind when I think about Survivor catchphrases, but it'll come to me eventually. But now with this, you know, kind of revelation for me that it wasn't even actually said on the show, now
I think that hurts.
Very confused.
I think that hurts it.
Yeah, I'm not sure where to put it now.
Okay.
I mean, so we're saying hold up, bro, though, not hold up, Reynolds.
Yeah, because I feel like the catchphrase itself, like what it's become has been hold up, bro. This would be like, didn't make it, but like F you, Brad Culpepper. Would be that, not necessarily like the version of Candace flipping him off and Marissa Peterson saying it, you know?
Yeah. So I feel like it's a ain't no Hershey bar, but I don't know if it's better than basically I'm a badass.
I agree. I think this is going to be fairly low overall. I can't think of many uses for it. I guess if you're like, hey, hold on, hold up, bro. But I haven't heard many people say it in the past 5 years, whereas opposed to, like, again, maybe it's more recency bias, but basically I'm a badass, I have heard much more being used in random casual conversation among Survivor fans than hold up, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's not actually what he said is, you know, holding it down a little bit, holding up, bro, it down. So, yeah, I think I'm good with where you put it.
All right. So right now it is in Ain't No Hershey Bar behind Drew Christie. Basically, I'm a badass. Mike, what's next?
All right, Rob, we are going to one of your original seasons.
Oh.
We're going to someone that... Yeah, that you went on a jury trip with.
One of my many original seasons, Scott.
Exactly. Yeah.
Please.
They're all original if you're in it, Rob.
Yes.
You can have multiple original seasons if you're an all-star. Original. And speaking of all-stars, that's what we're talking about here. This is a guy that you shared a jury trip with once upon a time. Richard Hatch has only been voted out of Survivor one time, but when he did, this is what he said.
I've been bamboozled!
So, Scott, this was one that you wanted to put on the list.
Yes. And I'm not willing to stand by that decision.
Oh.
No, I mean,
moving
it's
on.
Good. No, it's good. I do think of it. And it's one of the Richard quotes that I think of. But I don't know that it's really caught on in any way. I do hear it quoted. But I don't know that it's really become a catchphrase. So I'm now thinking, you know, it's good. It's something I think about with Richard. So I think that's, that's probably the thing I think about most of him from All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in the grand scheme of Survivor, in the grand scheme of catchphrases, I may have bamboozled you and myself into putting this on the list.
Mike, have you ever been bamboozled?
I mean, multiple times. My life, I'm Mike Bamboom zilled. Just so many times in my life where I become flummoxed for one reason or another. Happily, though, I think the question is bamboozled a positive connotation or a negative connotation? Like, do we compare it to, like, being swindled? Or is it more so like, you know, I become shocked at what's happening?
Oh, no, I think you're swindled. I wonder, like, if you worked at, like, a big company... And you sort of like left the company open to a ransomware attack and the hackers have shut down your complete computer system. If you went into your boss's office and said, we've been bamboozled, I wonder maybe if it might like be like a little bit more of an icebreaker that they wouldn't be as mad at you if you came in and said it in like a funny way.
Well, especially with that that inflection, it's got a very George Costanza kind of feel.
Yeah,
I can see him. Using that. We've been bamboozled, Jerry.
What? Bamboozled? I mean, I think that it's a little bit like not as nefarious. It's like, that, you know.
It's like I've been swindled, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a nice fun word. Exactly.
It's a fun word, and that's a plus for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you get caught when you're building a camp and you steal bamboo to build another shelter, you are bamboozling in a manner of speaking. But there's a nice little like flow to it that makes it feel much more than, hey, I've been like effed over essentially.
Yeah. I think that, like, if there's ever like something where, you know, we get scammed, I think I'm just going to break the news to Nicole about that. Hey, honey, we've been bamboozled.
Do you think it could work in a very solemn tone? Like, honey, I have bad news for you.
Yeah.
We have been bamboozled.
Bamboozled?
Could it ever just fly through in a serious conversation?
Let me pause
flagged and noticed.
I don't know is there a word with the letter Z in it that comes across incredibly serious?
Pizza. For me.
Analyze.
analyze.
Guess so. Unless you're not from the US, then you put an S in there instead of a Z. They know how silly of a word it is.
Yeah. That gets pretty serious.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like that, like lose sound. I don't know, in the middle of it that makes it come across a bit more jocular. I want to go back to Scott's point. Is this the most iconic Richard Hatch quote?
I can't think of a more iconic quote from him. I know the thing where he says he's got the check written
See, that's the thing is, I think that's like probably the better quote. I think what this one has over it is like we talked about in the beginning. Like it is, it's Regis Philbin is clippy. It's like short. It's three words as opposed to Richard's entire quote about how I've already got the million check written for me.
Yeah,
this is like a bigger, more energetic moment that you remember.
I could see Regis saying this also. I've been bamboozled.
Oh, absolutely.
Joy.
Yeah.
Joy, we've been bamboozled. He's it's good. It's fun. It's catchy.
Yeah.
But has it caught on as a catchphrase?
Is the name of an episode.
Yeah. Hold up, bro. Was the name of an episode. Mm.
Wasn't even said on the show. Yeah. So, all right. Let's look at a placing. I've been bamboozled.
To that point, so I think it might have to slot in above Malcolm. Like, I think now we have a little bit of our first line here, right? Is that putting the ones that weren't actually said on the show sort of almost fill out their own category. And so I think by default, Richard has to be above that.
Okay. All right. So I've been bamboozled. Can you use bamboozle in the present tense?
I will bamboozle you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Don't bamboozle me.
We're going out bamboozling tonight.
Okay. All right. So Richard is better than Malcolm. Is it better than basically I'm a badass?
What do you think, Scott?
That's a close one. I mean, it's got a really fun word in bamboozled.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's basically I've been bamboozled.
Basically, I've been bamboozled. That would be worth playing for. But I think he's good there next to Drew. I think it's tough to decide which of those is better than the other. I think Drew might have the edge. Mm. What do you guys think?
I would say better than Drew Christie, that it had an episode title. Feel like that's more of an iconic moment where that's the entire quote where, Scott, you even said yourself that the Drew Christie clip is part of a longer quote.
That's true.
Yeah, it's tough also to separate out, like, admittedly, Rob, I think you helped make basically I'm a badass into a catchphrase, right?
But if there was a soundboard in 2004...
Oh, I've been my bamboozle will be all over it.
Yeah. All right. You've convinced me. Move him up.
Yeah.
Move him up.
But I agree that I think you should make it out of Ain't No Hershey Bar, which is a quote from one of his fellow Mogo Mogo tribe members here. I think there's nothing here that necessarily signifies to me like next level to put it in my life is fine.
Okay. All right. I've been bamboozled. We will be right back talking more about the greatest Survivor catchphrases of all time with Scott and with Mike. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor, our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Now, look, when it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. Going on a cruise is fun. Going on Survivor even can be fun. Going look for a job, not often that fun. There's many things that you'd rather do than go and look for a job, like be on the edge of extinction, not move across the country. I can tell you that right now. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they actually figured out a way to make the job search process better and a lot easier. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter, you can create a free profile and then you get matched to great jobs, but also a lot more. ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. And unlike other job sites, if an actual person from a company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply for their job. Candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. That's according to 10,000 plus logged in ZipRecruiter users who reported being hired through ZipRecruiter during September and October 2020. Plus, if you like the job, you can apply to it and many others with just one click. It's that easy. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site in the U.S. worth playing for. So what are you waiting for? If you want an easier job search, just sign up right now for free on ZipRecruiter.com. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com today to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. And then we will be right back to the list in 30 seconds after we thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Mike, what's next?
Let's get some ladies in here. Let's get some female representation here in Outwit, Out Play Out List.
Please.
And finally, who better to start with than Sandra Diaz-Twine? And again, this is an out and proud catchphrase in that she said it multiple times, especially in Survivor Game Changers.
And the queen stays queen.
Yes. Well, this is a honest to goodness catchphrase, Scott.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. This is the one that actually gave me the idea to pitch Mike and you on a catchphrases list, because I was, for some reason, a very sad comment in my life is how much I think about Survivor. And I was thinking about the Queen Stays Queen and how she, I mean, the Queen, and I adore Sandra, and she created her own catchphrase and she willed it into existence. First of all, she had already established the name the Queen. So that goes back. She had laid the groundwork by making herself known as the Queen. And then she added this catchphrase. She repeated it so much that it really permeated to other players and fans. It's catchy. It rhymes in the most basic way. And there is a truth to it. That there's a truth to it, because the Queen does stay Queen. And yeah, I don't think we can argue with that.
This is a thing where the implication is basically I'm a badass, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, again, you don't need to say it. You just say the queen stays queen. And look, Sandra was ahead of all of this, like, royal obsession before everything happened, right? before Netflix even took a look at the British royalty. Here Sandra is saying the queen stays queen, as she has been for some time.
Yes. I'm wondering maybe if you could, you know, just sort of, I'm like thinking again about how do I like come up with what my catchphrase. And I'm wondering, is sort of like in this vein of, could he take some of the things we've already done? And I wonder if like you voted for people and said, you've been bamboozled.
Ooh.
That's like basically, I'm a badass. Queen stays queen. You've been bamboozled. TTHS.
Maybe Jeff should say that.
You've been bamboozled.
In lieu of the tribe.
You know what? Yeah, that, I think you've been bamboozled, I think, is actually.
You've been bamboozled.
I think it's more, it's definitely more aggressive, I think, than the tribe has spoken. We heard the tribe has spoken is more so just like, this is official, the tribe has spoken. This is more so like, hey, dude, this is on you.
Yeah.
You screwed up. You were bamboozled.
You missed the boat on this one.
Yeah. If they couldn't get the name Survivor for whatever legal reasons, I feel like that Bamboozle would be a good alternate name for the show.
What about like a Bamboozled Island?
Yeah.
Well, the band Survivor, there's Bamboo also. Yeah. Yeah. Bamboo is part of the show. It's intrinsic to the show. I think we're onto something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's get Probst on the line.
Queen stays queen. Has anybody ever said the phrase, the queen stays queen, prior to Sandra Diaz-Twine, Mike?
I would imagine not, because I don't know how many queens would have necessitated them affirming their status. Mm. You know, this was Sandra, if I recall correctly, I think the first time we heard this was in Game Changers, right? She started saying it in her voting confessionals. The clip that Derek pulled it from was the one where Sandra was talking to Tony while he was being voted out, right? Like, that's what you get for coming to me. The queen stays queen. I will also note, we did clip adios out of it, because I think she only says adios sometimes. I think adios is sort of like the optional pickle that you get with your sandwich. The queen stays queen is the main dish.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, another thing is, you know, when Denise voted, you know, got rid of Sandra in Winners at War, a lot of people were saying queen slays queen. And that to me just speaks to the power of the original catchphrase, queen stays queen. Nobody asked, where did you get that from, queen slays queen? Everybody knew what it was in reference to. This is a powerful catchphrase.
Very powerful.
So worth playing for, in my opinion.
I think what helps is not to besmirch the people that came before us, especially someone like Richard Hatch. But I mean, Sandra is on the Mount Rushmore of Survivor.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so I think the most iconic phrase from one of the most iconic contestants really means something.
Okay. Well, let's see where it is. Worth playing for. Does the queen stays queen? Should it be the number one? Is the queen, stay queen?
Yeah, okay. Where is she on the line of succession here?
This is a tough call, because in my heart says yes, but I don't know if my head is agreeing with that. You know, the tribe, because the tribe has spoken, has, you know, reached its tentacles so far beyond Survivor, it's really hard to displace it. But if anybody could, it's the queen staying queen. It's such a good catchphrase. And you know, I don't know if it happened organically, like she just shouted it out and just stuck with it, or if she planned on this. But, you know, this is probably, you know, one of the most pure catchphrases we're going to see today.
That's the thing, is that this is going to be incredibly unique in that this is like, this is Jimmy Walker, right? Like, this is the character who is coming back to Survivor and saying something over and over again. I actually remember back in Game Changers, we were like, wait, does she have a catchphrase now? Is she legitimately saying this every time? And we don't expect that. So I think it earns a lot of points. I'm just having trouble putting it above The Tribe Has Spoken. I think true to Sandra's hand in the photo, I'm fine putting this at number two right now.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think it can be better than The Tribe Has Spoken. I don't think it's more iconic than the show itself. This is like the tail of the snake cannot eat the head of the snake.
Yeah, but it can't eat the rat. Sense.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yes. But I do like the comparison to Dynamite. I like to imagine the studio audience going nuts every time
she says
the queen stays queen.
She walks in, everybody cheers.
She walks in,
I mean, that's everyone's in the Robin Sandra booth from Island of the Idols. That's the studio audience, and they're cheering her on every time she says it.
I don't know if we will have a player with a true catchphrase that will be better than the queen stays queen.
Seems impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's again, the queen for a reason. She is declaring that she is at the top right now.
I mean, she almost uses that in the same way that, like, in professional wrestling, like a professional wrestler would use their catchphrase to talk about how they just kick somebody's ass. And so that she would drop it in the same way, like when she's doing promos on people.
Right. It's triumphant and it's intimidating. It's, hey, don't come for me. The queen will always stay queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is as good as it gets, but I think you're right. It can't really, it can't go beyond The Tribe Has Spoken.
Okay. So the queen stays the queen, but for now, number two on our list. Mike, let's get back to the list.
The number of times she won.
Yes,
exactly. Well, we're moving from one winner to another. We're talking about Michelle Fitzgerald. A lot of phrases for her, particularly from Survivor Co. Wrong, but this is probably the most well-known.
Bro, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about this, I think, with the GIFs, whatever you want to call it, with Chappelle, Rob, about the Michelle one that we had chosen. Some might figure Bro, I Know is actually the more widely used one of Michelle. So this is a catchphrase that I think has a lot of repetition and a lot of value, especially in internet culture from Michelle's perspective, right? Of just you're getting in an argument with someone and you're just like, Bro, I know. Stop trying to explain something to me that I already know about.
I hate that. You already know it. Why do they have to keep explaining it?
Yeah. And especially when it's your own bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's explaining it to you?
Hold up, Bro. I know.
Mm. Oh. This, we could combine those.
Yeah, it must be the peanut butter and chocolate of the out-win-up play-out list is combining catchphrases now.
They might need to end up right next to each other on the list for that reason.
Scott, how is Hold Up, Bro for you?
It's good. It's it rhymes again, which I think is catchy and it rhymes, which is always a plus. And it's got some sass. It's got some attitude.
So
it's
much
very
sass.
Iconic for Michelle. And I think Michelle's stock is, in general, among Survivor fans, has only risen since she first said Bro, I Know. So, you know, I don't find myself using it very much, but I see it out there.
Yeah.
And I think we know immediately, you know, who said it. You don't need to attribute it to anybody. So, yeah, Bro, I know. I think this is a good one.
Mike, how are you feeling? Bro, I know.
Bro, I know. I like it. It doesn't have a lot of zazz to it in the way Queen Stays Queen might, or even I've Been Bamboozled, which also contains a Z in it, but I do think it represents Michelle a little bit, right? Like, it is sassy, but it almost has that, like, colloquialism to it. Like, bro, I absolutely know about it. I mean, remember, one of her other quotes is, I don't need to be carried, bro. And I think that speaks to Michelle, right? Like, she is, she uses those types of terms, but also, like, is able to worm her way into situations, as you're about to talk about, Rob, with her underrated gameplay over the course of her two seasons. So I think it might be the best Michelle quote. And it helps that it's, to Scott's point, I think it's used a lot.
Yeah, on a serious note, that I do feel like that it is a great encapsulation of Michelle, where I feel like that she is often underestimated, and people assume that she does not know things, and there might be other people, especially the male players in the game, who just might assume that she doesn't know anything, when in fact, bro, she does know. She's never been voted out of the game, even. So
she's never been bamboozled.
She's never been bamboozled, not even once. I mean,
she's done the bamboozling.
I mean, she
she's been blindsided. Yeah,
she has been blindsided. That's true. She also talked about a bunch of malarkey also another time, which I also liked. So this is very good, but she only said it once, and frankly, she's kicked the puzzle more times than she said this.
So if we could verbalize a puzzle kick, would be the catchphrase. Would be
she
the
didn't
puzzle.
Even like intentionally bring it back in Winners at War, where she could have come out there and gone all in on bro, I know.
Well, it was a new season. Who dis? I mean, she wasn't going to bring it back.
Yeah. So Michelle herself did not steer into her own catchphrase.
Right. But is that another thing of like show, don't tell? Right. Like only Sandra would be able to repeat her phrase over and over again and get away with it. If Michelle does, true to what the internet culture thinks of her going into Winners at War, they like, God, I can't believe Michelle saying, bro, I know all those times. We get it.
She kicks the puzzle multiple times.
But those are in moments of triumph. You know, that's like, I kicked the puzzle because I'm excited. This is more so like, oh, my God, I can't believe this dude's really talking to me like this.
Yeah, it's good. I don't think it's necessarily worth playing for. I think it might be, you know, my life is fine.
Let's look at the list.
Yeah, I like putting it in my life is fine as well. I think it's bolstered a lot by the fact that I've seen a good amount of people use it, maybe because it's more modern. It's just gotten a lot more play. But I do think like it's emblematic of Michelle. It's used a fair amount. I think what's keeping it out of that top tier is it's missing that je ne sais quoi that the top two are right now.
If it was basically, bro, I know. Is that
bro,
better?
I basically know. Bro, I basically know.
Bro, I know, basically.
Bro, basically, I know.
Bro, it's always best to have a drink before war.
Bro, yeah. I've been new.
That should have been the updated Winners at War version. Bro, I've been new.
Yeah. Okay. Is that good? My life is fine here for Michelle?
How are you feeling about it, Rob?
Yeah, I feel fine.
Your life is fine.
My life is fine. Yeah.
I've been bro-boozled.
Yeah. Okay. Let's leave it there. All right. Let's go back to the list, Mike. What do you got?
All right. Well, this is one that I think will get a run out of you or a ream out of you. Someone you went to many times in season 38.
Screw you, dude.
Screw you, dude.
It is Ream Daily. Yeah.
Boy, Ream has so much. Screw you, dude. Lame. Bravo. Yeah.
So even just dude on its own.
Dude. Yeah.
So let me ask you, Rob, as sort of like the biggest Ream expert I honestly know, to be frank, what is the most iconic Ream Daily catchphrase? Is it screw you, dude? Like what's been the most applicable that you've seen?
Screw you, dude, is a very is very good. Let me see. There's
are you?
Yeah.
It's fine. You know what, dude? It's fine.
I think you've used that a lot.
Yeah. I feel like that just dude, I feel like is Reem's catchphrase more so than any modifier of dude. But I do think that, Mike, I know you like to do this, that I think that screw you, dude could be sort of like embody all of the dudes. She's the Hurley of Survivor.
Yeah, and she's the one who ends up becoming the protector of Edge of Extinction at the end of it. So I think it all makes sense. Yeah, I think that the thing that also differentiates, I think, Screw You Dude from just like Dude is that Screw You Dude feels more pointed, right? It's like, Screw You Dude, what the hell? It's a more antagonistic bro I know of like, how dare you tell me Screw You Dude? Whereas I think Dude, she just sort of throws in as a filler word sometimes, and we absolutely love it, but it feels like it doesn't really have any meaning attached to it as opposed to Screw You Dude.
Hmm.
Well, I love Reem. I'm a huge Reem fan. I love this one. I could listen to her all day. I will say, I don't know how this affects its ranking, but I feel like this is one that really only works if it's coming from Reem or being done in a Reem voice. If I just go up to you and say, screw you, dude, then suddenly it's like,
yeah, well, what's your problem?
Who's this jerk? You know,
I'm being bamboozled right now.
And then yeah. I'm like Dan Foley just randomly, suddenly, you know, attacking you for no reason. So some of these might work whether you do the voice or not. That said,
yeah. What if you said screw you, dude, in a Reem voice to somebody?
To somebody who doesn't know Survivor.
Yeah.
I don't know how well that would go over either.
Hmm.
You get in like a fender bender with someone, and they're like, oh my God, you just hit me. Like, wait, screw you.
Screw you, dude. You came out at me first. You didn't even stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would go over well. It's in that way, it's sort of like, with needing her voice, it's almost like my wife or like an Austin Powers thing.
Borat of Survivor?
Yeah, she's the Borat of Survivor.
Wow.
That said, I could see the t-shirt with Reem and Screw You Dude, and I still love it. I'm just saying I don't feel that it has any utility without her voice.
Mm. Do any of these have utility without Reem's voice?
Without Reem's voice?
Without any of their voice, yeah.
Well, Reem's voice will enhance
queen
any of
them. Queen stays queen.
Dude. Queen stays queen, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Tribe has spoken. I mean, we've heard the tribe has spoken used by news anchors, by politicians, and they're not doing an impression of Jeff Probst. Now, I don't know that that lowers it any, because it's still a great catchphrase, and Reem is an icon as far as she's on the Mount Rushmore of
so much
of first boots of so much, yes, of yeah, so but- much.
But I think also, Hold Up Bro, as Scott mentioned, was used by another Survivor contestant, right? So, like, it's been used by people in the past. Maybe it's just that we have not done enough Survivor seasons for people to repeat Reem.
Right.
Here.
Right. Okay. Right.
We could see this come into play in 41 and 42.
You think somebody will say, screw you, dude?
Be more of a day 28 thing, so it might just not happen this time.
Okay.
You know, but
all right. Let's look at Screw You Dude.
If we do acronym, it would be SUD, which is fun.
Yeah. What would be more hurtful, Mike? To hear Screw You Dude or Screw You Bro?
Oh, I feel like there's a difference between a dude and a bro, right? Like a dude, you look more down on. I think bro sort of has, especially as of late, sort of has. If I'm like closing my eyes and imagining a bro, I'm imagining like hulking, wearing a guinea tee, like maybe a headband, can of Muscle Milk in his hand, cut off shorts.
This is about me, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just imagining what Scott Chernoff is wearing right now. Someone who I
Screw
think
you,
is
Scott.
Very is very like physically present, backwards facing Bro, cap, maybe a polo shirt on top of that.
And what would a dude look like?
Dude looks like Fabio.
Okay.
Fabio from Survivor or Fabio?
So should I be more offended by the screw you part
modeling,
or like what the you're saying I'm like a Fabio?
Well, I think it's the way you say it too, right? Like, as I talked before, Rim could just be like, oh, dude, this is so awesome. I can't believe you found that crab. But instead it's like, oh, screw you, dude. Hmm. That feels a distinctly different tone to me. You know, I think only dudes can call each other dude positively. When you use the term dude and you are not a dude, it has a negative implication behind it. It almost feels
positive.
Like there's derision behind it. Yeah, exactly. Just like with bros, too. Like, bros will say, bro, you're my bro. But I feel like whenever you're not a bro and you use the word bro, it sounds sarcastic.
Usually if you're addressing someone as dude, it's like you've got a point to make. Dude, you know, it's not as good as bro. Because if it's bro, you're like, hey, bro.
All right, let's place screw you, dude, on the board. So it was said on the show. So does that make it instantly better than Malcolm?
Oh, I definitely say so. I think if we're doing the battle of bro versus dude, I think dude's got to take it here. I guess the question is, you know, there's so much ream catchphrases, as Rob talked about. And you often make this argument sometimes, Rob, when I do the catch-alls. Does like the ubiquity, is there too much ream that this would essentially be like, well, screw you, dude, isn't that special, so it washes it down a little
bit. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit that ream is not defined by screw you, dude. So, I don't know. Let's put it between Malcolm and Drew Christie and Malcolm.
I'm good with that right now. A dude between two bros.
Yeah, okay.
A dude bro party.
Screw you two dudes, okay? All right. So, Mike, what comes next?
All right, let's go to, you know, we mentioned Michelle didn't bring any catchphrases into season 40. Someone did. This is going to be a bit of a unique one. But Rob, you may notice of this over the course of Winners at War. Tony, we know, loves to make sounds. We talked about the llama noises.
Yep.
This is something that Tony, without explanation, did throughout the course of Winners at War.
Oh, oh!
Yeah.
Is that a catchphrase?
Is that a phrase?
There's certainly sounds.
It is certainly sounds. No doubt about that.
It certainly has an audio element to it.
Yes. Yes. Scott, could that be a Wheel of Fortune answer?
That's the tough part, because
you're gonna have to buy a vowel and then you'll win.
Yeah, just buy one vowel. I'm not even sure how it's spelled. You know, is it how many O's are involved here? What I like about it is that, you know, he did it so much and other players did it back.
Yes.
You know, other players start, I believe Lucina does it. I believe maybe Nick does it. So it kind of caught on and became a thing. Is it a catchphrase or is it a catch sound?
I think it's more catchy than it is a phrase.
Yeah, but let me also offer, like, when Homer Simpson says "dope," is that not a catchphrase, despite the fact that it's a sound and not a word?
It's more like, is a beat a song?
So is there a melody missing from "ooh ooh"? Is your question?
Yeah.
Which, ironically enough, does sound melodic on its own.
I think it sounds. I don't know if it's a phrase.
Well, I love it. I mean, I love Tony, and I love that it kind of, to me, sums up the joyful abandon, you know, with which he plays. He always seems like he's having so much fun. And whenever he kind of triumphs or something, this kind of just comes out of him. But I suppose that is a worthwhile question. Is it a phrase?
Can you put it on a t-shirt, Scott? I mean, I think that's the sort of, like, if I looked up catchphrase, I think number one, can you put it on a t-shirt?
I think
a t-shirt of a lunchbox with all the catchphrases on it.
But will people know what it means? When I see it spelled out, am I going to wonder, am I just looking at it going, ooh, ooh? Am I going to hear it, on how it's spelled
this
out?
Is huge. Well,
so that's the other thing as well, actually, a bit of behind the scenes stuff, is I know when I reached out to Derek with it, he thought I was referring to, this is huge, I needed this, ooh, ooh. So is this, does this get docked points in that, like, it might not be the most even iconic Tony ooh moment?
Mm-hmm. So on paper, you're saying it might not, although I sent it to you as a suggestion, you knew what it meant, right?
Yeah.
You got that. You know, this is tough because this is something that genuinely did catch on, that was repeated quite often, that you associate with Tony.
Yeah.
So I guess we're coming down to the question of the technicality of, is it disqualified for not being a full phrase?
Mike, could we start doing it on podcasts back and forth?
I think so. I think especially
do one.
All right, so if we're down a tangent, I'm like, all right, let's get this back on track. Ooh, ooh.
Or after a particularly good interview or a particularly good, you know, exchange,
it's like
of,
the bell.
Of banter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, the, I, it's akin to the bell.
I feel like mine sounds like an owl.
Well, I think what the interesting thing was I believe it was used a lot when like Tony came in with tree mail. So I think you have to use it to introduce someone. Like before, let's rewind to the beginning of this podcast. All right, you know him from Rick and Morty, BoJack Horseman, Snakes, Rats, and Goats, Scott Chernoff. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Yeah.
See, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, we're on to something here.
Yeah. Okay, it's, well, let's look at the board.
You know, it's
but
not
I think
ratchet.
But I mean, I think to that point, now you're not using it even as a catchphrase anymore. Now you're just using it as a sound effect, which feels a little different.
Hmm.
Well, I think it is. It's very much like your ding, Rob. And would your ding be considered a catchphrase?
They wouldn't let me bring the bell on Survivor. Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
First off, I'm very glad that you figured out this picture was the one to represent Tony. So yeah. Sort of like, I don't know if we'll figure this one out.
Okay. Disturbing photo.
Okay. Yeah. Mike, we're not going to put it in Forget You Go Home Goodbye, right?
I was wondering about that. I was wondering, do you, because you sometimes do this,
well,
right?
I'm the least feather, high on it.
A feather's not three. A hat. Is this that category for you?
I don't think that this is a phrase, but that I am willing to hear where you two think it should go.
I think where it gets credit, I think the feather in its cap, which is a hat, is that it is repeated by other players, as Scott said. Mm-hmm. This is something that other people said. And so it has that viral aspect to it. Does that help weigh out the fact that maybe to some people's point, it is nothing but an amalgam of one letter, not to be confused with the hold up row guy, amalgam?
Well, I mean, it's coming from his voice. It's a vocal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
let me ask a question. Is Rupert's catchphrase of roar on the list?
It is. I mean, it didn't. But I mean, I could see it as a Rupert catchphrase personally.
I feel like his catchphrase was yelling Drake. I don't do a good Rupert, but yeah. I'm stuck on this technicality issue because I feel like Forget You Go Home Goodbye is just the worst of the worst, which this is not. But is it also for, you know, something that just doesn't qualify?
Did it stick with you after season 40? I remember that it happened in season 40, but did you find yourself last summer making this noise for certain times?
Making the noise?
Yeah.
No. No. But because I'm not Tony, I don't have that same joie de vivre. But you know, I listen to a lot of, this is another just dark admission, I listen to a lot of Wandoffs just in my spare time because I'm a huge fan. And there's a great Wandoff song about that takes this. So it's remained sort of in my mind all this time.
That's a good point. Like, we talk about, oh, we put it on a t-shirt. If it's been
like
Wandoffs already.
Yeah.
It was Wandoff to the tune of CeeLo's F.U. song.
Hmm.
Yes.
Which I believe is also going to be one of Jeff's discarded catchphrases when someone gets their torch snuffed.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe. All right. So I'm inclined to put it at the bottom of a no Hershey bar for now. But like, you're on thin ice, Vlachos. Mm-hmm. There's a chance it might end up falling down to the bottom just due to the proxy of the fact that like it's not, there's no words that
I don't
want to
get technical here. Yeah. That's, you know. Looking for an iconic catchphrase. All right.
Not an iconic catch.
Sound.
Sound.
Yeah. If we're doing iconic sound clips, okay, you know, a little different.
It's like a call and response.
Mm. All right. Mike, what's next?
Well, ooh, ooh, has a lot of O's in it. Yeah. And so does the catchphrase from this person, Amber, one of your fellow Chapera tribe members.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, is that so good?
So this is one of those Sandra moments, one that gets unintentionally, in this case, repeated multiple times during many food rewards. People might not remember, but Amber Berkich, now Mariano, during her time on Survivor, really loved to say, yeah. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah. This is such a great catchphrase that it is just, it's so smart. Like,
so good.
It does so much, Scott. All I can say is, oh my God, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You know, I didn't really have a strong memory of this. And then Mike sent me the video has her saying it like, you know, several times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Several different clips of her saying it. And I realized, and she says, oh my, she almost never says it's. I was very impressed. She's always saying, it is so good.
It is
so very formal English.
Good.
Well, I think that helps so extend it, right? Good. Like how sometimes when you expand on contractions, like instead of saying don't mess with me, if you say do not mess with me, that has more of a point to it. I think if you're really putting an exclamation point by saying it is so good instead of saying it's so good.
Hmm. Yeah. Boy, this is going to be hard to place, Mike.
I know. Well, here's the thing. I mean, this is almost by default, the key Amber Berkich Mariano catchphrase.
Yeah.
It's a big part of those early seasons. But to Scott's point, is this something that a lot of people use nowadays? I'm not sure. I think it does have a lot of applicability. There are certain things we like to luxuriate in. If we're like Rev Run and we're soaking up in the tub, you might say, oh my God, it's so good.
It is so good.
But I think what also really helps it is that this is so unique and that it's an unintentional catchphrase. Like, I really don't believe Amber's like, all right.
Definitely not. Yeah.
I don't think she had any awareness that she says this so often.
Mm. Yeah, this is not Jerry saying, do the do, baby, to really just like cuddle up to the Mountain Dew sponsorship. I think Amber is just wrapped with ecstasy every time she sees food.
And what a shame that she was not on, sorry to interrupt you, long enough on Winners at War to bring it back.
Yeah. Maybe there she said nothing, it on the edge.
Yeah. I don't know.
About it's so bad. It's so bad out here.
Yeah. I would love that if that became the catchphrase for the podcast, where then listeners, after we post an episode, could then just go on Twitter and say, oh my God, it is so good.
Can that be the compliment that we ask people to pay?
Yes.
Whoever it might be, just type, oh my God, it's so good.
It's even so if it's to a person who doesn't good. Watch
Survivor. Well, I think you're going to have to put that clip into heavy rotation. And you'll start getting it back at you soon enough. Exactly. Ooh, ooh, it's so good.
So good.
Now it sounds like this is some sort of like Shaft-esque movie backing track. Like, oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. Let's look at the list, Mike.
Delicious taste.
We got a lot of catchphrases to look at today. All right. So here we are. Here is Amber, then Berkich to take a look at this. Okay. All right. Is it Ain't No Hershey Bar?
I think it's at least Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Yeah.
I'm thinking my life is fine, personally.
Mike, one of my favorite parts from Survivor Australia was when Jerry was talking about how she just wanted to rub chocolate on some hot guy's bod. But Amber was just like yelling out random food items and she just goes, Meatball sub!
Yes!
So good.
She kind of married the human equivalent
to
the meatball sub.
It's like a cartoon where like you just imagine someone as a food that was her with Rob the entire time on Survivor All-Stars of like, yes, I'll marry you, sub. I mean, Rob.
Do you think that on the edge of extinction, she would be looking at Rob and she'd be so hungry that it'd be like in a cartoon where you would see the person as just a giant meatball sub?
I may be
sub.
A lot of things, Scott, but I ain't no meatball sub.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
I beg to differ.
All right. Do we get to Ain't No Hershey Bar?
What do you think, Scott?
Do you mean, is it above? I think it's at least Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Okay.
I mean,
better than Tony.
I think better than Tony.
Okay.
Like, I think the fact that it is...
It is like, a if phrase.
We talk about, Yeah, like it's we talked phrase. About, it's a phrase, and I think the and it is it was properly said on the show, so we have to move it past Malcolm.
It's a complete sentence.
But I think the fact that, like, if we're giving Sandra credit for repeating it multiple times, we have to give Amber credit for it, no?
But if it's unintentional, if it's like just like a verbal tick.
I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, I think that makes it even funnier that she essentially backed her way into doing what TV writers do all the time. Like, she found her "Did I do that?" by pure coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But is it something that we very strongly associate with Amber?
I personally do. But again, okay, to your point, Scott, and your own experience, there might be some people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've watched that season multiple times and just I remembered it as soon as I was watching it, but it never it never stood out to me. Did it stand out to you, Rob?
It does stand out to me.
I feel like you are very delighted by this one.
Me? I mean, yeah. I have experienced it.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, like that, that's what yeah. you're remembering. Yeah.
She played with Amber and her sub on the island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's her go-to. I don't think it's a great catchphrase, but it is Amber's catchphrase.
But is it an iconic catchphrase?
I think it's more, I think it is at least more iconic than "I've been bamboozled," personally.
Whoa.
Oh,
it's something that we associate with Amber multiple times.
Hmm.
That is a hot take.
I think it is clearly Amber's catchphrase. I do not believe it is an iconic catchphrase.
So what? So
some catchphrases, you hear them and they're instantly iconic. Others take years to become iconic. I don't know if this is one of them.
So to that point, I think we've settled on "Ain't No Hershey Bar" probably just by compromise. Mm-hmm. I guess the question is, where does it fall in here?
Hmm.
Well, it was said on the show.
It was said on the show, so bye-bye, Malcolm. It's definitely above that.
I'm fine with it where it is right now.
I think it should be above Malcolm, at least. Because Amber did say, oh my God, it's so good on the show, unlike Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because, you know, he didn't say it on the show, yet it has caught on as a catchphrase. I think it could go on either side of Malcolm. I will sign off on whatever decision you make.
Here, let's...
To the bamboozled point, I do wonder, Rob, if you had a soundboard for some reason back in 2001, I do think "Oh My God, It's So Good" might have made it on there.
Okay.
Probably not as much as "I've Been Bamboozled," but I could imagine it being on there.
Mike, what's next?
All right, well, we're going to the definitive catchphrase of someone who you very much remember, because it's from a season that people try to forget, Survivor One World. Take it away, Troyzan.
This is my island. You can't beat me.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think this is pretty good as a catchphrase.
This is my island?
Yeah.
What did he say at the after "This is my island" right there?
You can't beat me.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what Troyzan says after his back's against the wall at like the final 10, I want to say, of Survivor One World. And so he wins the immunity challenge and does, this is my island. You can't beat me. And everyone just sort of likes this. Whatever, Troyzan. I'm going to go look at the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't have quite the impact that he wants it to. But it is, it holds up as a catchphrase. I think it doesn't have the, it doesn't really have that air of truth to it, because really it was Kim's island.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, so it's more of an ironic.
It has that basically "I'm a badass" sort of description to it, right? Where it's ironic in its usage.
But it also sticks that I feel like that when Troyzan is going to come back for second chances, I feel like this gets talked about. I feel like it's mentioned again when he comes back actually in Game Changers. So I think by definition of something that's repeated multiple times, that is used to sort of like identify the person, you could see this on a t-shirt. This is my island with a picture of Troyzan. So I think that as terms of like the definition of a catchphrase, I think this is actually like a pretty solid one.
And so he'd be taking his own photo for that t-shirt.
Yes. Click, 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 click. Yeah.
Click, click. That's his other catchphrase.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I do agree, though. I think this is the most iconic Troyzan moment. right? Like, this has to be by far. And I, to your point, Rob, I think this is the reason why he gets brought back mm-hmm. as many times as he does.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at Troyzan. This is my island.
Does the emphasis matter?
This is my island.
Yeah, I think that's what he sort of is like. That's the implication, I think, behind it. I think this is my island is more so the Jeff Probst validating an immunity idol tone to it.
Mm. Right. This is Troyzan's island.
Therefore,
this
any votes
is my island.
Any islands for anybody else will not count.
Okay. All right. So are we talking the Ain't No Hershey Bar? Are we talking My Life is Fine?
I don't know. Could this eke its way into My Life is Fine? Or do you think it's still hanging
Let's
out with the rest
out
of the...
Let's try the back of My Life is Fine. What do you think of that, Scott?
I think it's okay. I wouldn't put it any higher than the back of that. You know, I think your points are good that it's a solid catchphrase. I don't know that it's a great catchphrase. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a catchphrase. So it beats a couple mm-hmm. just on that basis alone.
Okay. Mike, what do you think about it here?
I'm fine keeping it here for now. I think it has a lot of pros. I think the cons are the fact that it's just affiliated with a not so well-regarded season. So I can't imagine people using it a lot. But I do think it's arguably probably one of the, I know it's a low bar, but probably one of the like biggest lines coming out of Survivor One World. I think this is one of the quotes that you remember the season by.
Is there another quote from Survivor One World that we remember the season by?
Yes, Kim.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of Tarzan quotes that I think pretty memorable.
Ooh, yeah,
poop not dirt.
Quantum entanglement. Yeah. Colton has some quotes you want to forget also.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of cat stuff. BLT has bacon in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
All right. The list is afoot.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. The nominal aphasia. Sure. So, all right. Let's go to whatever you have next, Mike.
All right. We're going to get into a phase with a couple of phrases from challenges. And once upon a time, Rob, we talked about this all the way back during funny loved ones moments. Take it away once more, Mr. Thunder D.
Yeah.
Short and sweet, but She Died, Dude is one that I got many submissions for when I put out the call to the patrons.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It is definitely caught on with fans. I give it an extra point for being the only catchphrase not uttered by a Survivor cast member, a contestant, or the host.
This is Thunder D's legacy right now in Survivor.
Yes.
Hi, dude.
And an extra point just for being named Thunder D, which makes the whole thing more memorable and hilarious. And the sort of sheer casual nature that he is delivering this ostensibly tragic news by tacking the dude on.
Yeah.
A pre-ream dude.
Yeah. Scott, would it be better or worse? She died, bro.
I think the bro would be the better way to hear. If your grandmother had really died, I'd rather be told she died, bro.
She died, dude, is more cavalier.
Well, yeah, to that point, again, if I'm talking about like the visualization of a bro to me indicates more like button-down shirts. Dude is always to be like shirtless or, you know, not wearing something with sleeves. So when you hear she died, dude, that to me feels much
dude
more.
Dude is no sleeves, bro is sleeves.
That's
an amazing peek into your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely more cavalier, like you said. It's more just like you're telling somebody supposedly that their grandmother died and just throwing in a dude like it doesn't. It's the same as like, oh yeah, I ended up going with pepperoni, dude. I didn't do the mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of that kind of
probably like the most bedside manner that you could have would be basically she died.
Yeah,
basically the tribe did not want her here no more.
Well, actually, doesn't the D stand for doctor? So I think that makes that's Thunder D's best bedside manner there.
Okay.
I don't want someone named Thunder Doctor.
Dude.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
It's a classic. And it's from a very iconic moment, which I think heightens it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. She died, dude. Let's go ahead and see what we have. And we have here. Okay. All right. I think we're at least My Life is Fine.
At least my life is fine. So I would say either top of my life is fine, or I could be convinced to put bottom of worth playing for.
Yeah, I'd agree with either of those.
Okay, I think let's go higher for this. Worth playing for.
Because I think this is arguably the most iconic moment from one of the most iconic moments of all time in Survivor. I think that that means a lot. It is arguably like the why it makes it the funniest moment of all time is like Scott beautifully addressed, just like the Thunder D's acting specifically, that he feels like, all right, like he's doing an improv scene and he's like, what would my character say when he's trying to celebrate the bereaved Johnny Fairplay's grandma? She died, dude. Is just three magical words.
And I feel like he's also kind of panicking a bit because he kind of either forgot to bring it up or he wasn't sure if Johnny still wanted to do it. So he had to, he waited till he was prompted. It was sort of like, yeah, she died, dude.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's leave this here for the bottom of worth playing for, which is the Travis Spoken, Queen Stays Queen. She died, dude. Said only once, but instantly iconic.
Oh, yeah. How do you think Sandra feels now that a Johnny Fairplay moment is besides her and worth playing for?
Mm. Not good, but Queen Stays Queen. She's still above it.
Exactly.
She might have something to say later on in this list about that placement in particular.
All right. So, Mike, what's next?
All right, we talked about other challenge moments. Let's do another blast from the past, Rob. We talked about this in funniest Jeff Probst moments, but it's worth another play.
Spin and grin. Spin and grin.
Okay.
This is unique because this is an attempt at a catchphrase that fails.
Yes.
So, like, how much do we weight that positively? That, like, wow, this is actually trying to become a catchphrase, but it does not catch fire whatsoever. It is like Becky and Sundra. No flame is here.
Scott, should Spin and Grin have caught on?
Should it have caught on? Yeah. Absolutely not.
Spin and Grin is the basically the tribe don't want you here no more. That's.
So what, you think Mark Burnett came by like, oh, they should say spin and grin when they turn around?
Mm-hmm.
I love it because it's so awkward and so cringy. It's like a sort of a prelude to that crazy quote he made up with the British accent in Winners of War about the drink before the war. It's just he was trying to be a little more lighthearted and it doesn't.
He says it twice. He says it again, I think when Aubrey wins immunity.
Yeah, he was trying to make it happen, but I think it's interesting because so many of Jeff's catchphrases did catch up, were good, and have stood the test of time. So this is a rare instance, and maybe it has to do with him trying to be a little bit more fun, and that just doesn't work for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what
it's too late to introduce Spin and Grin.
The one you want to be fun in is Survivor Game Changers. That really is the playground that you want to romp on that jungle gym.
Maybe if he said Spin and Grin in season two, like we would have all just went with, okay, Spin and Grin. That's what you say. That's worth playing for. You know, that Spin and Grin. Sure.
You put it on, you got to spin around and grin.
Don't walk into season 34 with Spin and Grin.
On the other hand, I encourage him to keep trying to innovate and come up with new insane catchphrases and ideas to start throwing in because I love to watch him flail. Mm-hmm. He's so good 99% of the time.
We love it.
It's fun for him to be, you know, to see that he's a little human and not every catchphrase can be the tribe has spoken.
Okay. All right. Let's look at the board for spin and grin. Okay. I think this is the easiest one so far.
Yeah, all right. Plays it, Rob.
Put it in.
Forget you. Go home. Goodbye.
Wow. All right. Jeff Probst, the alpha and the omega here. Top spot and bottom spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bookend. And it did. He did forget it. And it did go home. And we did say goodbye to it.
is that that's the season one. Remember like the sound that would sing? Yeah, the transition between scenes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Tony just embodied that 22 decades later.
I love
later.
That, Mike. That's perfect.
Yeah, so I think I totally agree with this, actually, because I think like we have some memory of it, but I'll be completely candid. I sort of tuned out Spin and Grin until we did that Jeff Probst list and people reminded me of it. Because I think to Scott's point, it's a blemish on Jeff's hosting record that I think he would rather us not remember. So it doesn't really even necessarily have that iconic quality to it. Exactly. Like we like it, but I feel like it hasn't really caught on even from like an ironic perspective.
Hmm. We should bring it back. Okay. Maybe on Rob Akiva the podcast, we should do a spin and grin. Ready, Akiva, you ready to spin and grin?
You spin the wheel, right?
Yeah.
So there
yeah.
you go.
Well, I think what Perfect. You do is you do spin and grin if it's like a good outcome. If it's a bad outcome, it's round and frown.
Very sad. Okay. Mike, what's next?
All right. Let's move on here to an iconic moment, I would say, I think, from Tribal Council. Keith Nail's got a lot of big moments behind him, but I think this is the quote everyone remembers him for.
I say stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan. That was a good one.
That's yeah. a classic.
It's a big classic one. We got a lot of submissions for this. I do think, as I just mentioned, I think it is like the Keith Nail moment. As much as I think we get utility out of going on a cruise is fun, I do think stick to the plan. I mean, it's also like emblematic of that Tribal Council too, right? Like I remember in those future subsequent seasons, Rob, you would have talk with players and like nobody wants to have a stick to the plan moment where someone just accidentally outs what's going on in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, you like stick to the plan?
I love stick to the plan. I love the moment. I love Keith. I love the quote. I want the t-shirt. And even though it's not completely accurate, I want him to be driving the tuk-tuk in the t-shirt. And I just want him driving a tuk-tuk in the words stick to the plan.
Mm.
That's the t-shirt I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, I mean, I don't know how much it caught on, so to speak, with the show and within the show, but I think that it's one that is referenced a lot outside of the show.
I don't think this was like an intentional Keith Nail-ism, but I do think that stick to the plan became part of the Survivor lexicon.
Yes.
Right. But it's more so used in like a sober perspective, right? Whereas opposed to like the Keith use is more like the goof juice version. This is like, we have to stick to the plan. Keith's like, well, I say stick to the plan. And it's also just, again, it's such a big moment as well, right? Because they were going to go through this whole plan to blindside John Mish, go out with an idol in his pocket. He does later on. But then Keith gets the bug in Natalie Anderson's ear in particular by being like, hey, something's happening right now because there is a plan going on.
Yeah.
So I think it has a lot of iconicness behind it.
Okay. Let's look at the list. Stick to the plan. Here we go. This one is going to be... Here we go. Keith Nail. And where is Keith? Boom. Here we go. Where should Keith be?
Nail it in, Scott. Where's it going?
I think this one might be worth playing for.
Whoa!
Wow.
You know, maybe toward the bottom or toward the top of my life is fine. I just think it's such a funny moment. You know, I'm a Nail male. I'll admit it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Either there or either the bottom of worth playing for or the top of my life is fine. It's definitely is a Hershey bar, so I wouldn't put it any lower than my life is fine.
Yeah, I gotta put it in my life is fine. I do not. There's nothing here that like really compares it to the top three for me. But I could see it above Bro I Know in that, to your point, Rob, I think ironically it has found its way into Survivor in a very strategic perspective, ironically enough, considering it's associated with Keith Nail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good here. My life is fine. I feel like feels like the top of my life is fine. Feels very good.
Yeah. From a season that Keith played in. I think that quote is very apt.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to be in the all-time top list of Survivor catchphrases.
All right. Hey.
Okay.
You're the boss.
All right. All right. Stick to the plan. All right. Mike, what's next?
All right. So this is one that, again, I think we got Mandela'd a bit. Russell Hans said something one time upon losing his second season in a row in Survivor Heroes versus Villains. What he actually said was,
I think there is a flaw in the game.
But what we remember is, of course, the game is flawed.
Yeah, and it's always said a flaw. He didn't even say that, apparently. Interesting. But this has
the clip is flawed.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, I don't think he said it anywhere else. I think some people, maybe they just, like, memeified it and turned it into, like, you know, when you're doing the caricature of Russell, you're like, oh, my God, the game is flawed. Where's my hat? That it sort of just got, it sort of just got, like, mangled into forming a completely different
sentence. I've been bamboozled with this
Basically, the tribe don't want me here no more.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know what that is? If Russell Hance, God forbid, ever became the host of Survivor, he would change it from the tribe has spoken to the tribe don't want you here around no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a flaw in the game.
There is a flaw.
That's what he literally said.
Or are we trying to? Well, this to me is like a worse than Malcolm, because I don't even know.
This is like this. This is not a change in a word. This isn't a change in an entire sentence structure. Mm-hmm. Entire syntax is warped.
I had no idea. I thought it was the game is flawed all this time.
Game is afoot.
Sometimes as it's caught on, it's also used in a more mocking way.
Mm-hmm.
It's used sarcastically.
Well, yeah, I think, again, I would speak from Rob's experience. I think that it's the only use for it, right? It's like if you're talking about like, oh, this thing is flawed. I can't believe the system's rigged against me. Like nobody is, I don't think, using it sincerely to talk about how something is flawed.
Yeah. Boy.
If Russell had been president, the vote count was flawed.
Yeah, I was going to say that's like that Russell was ahead of his time. That nobody, maybe Russell's invented, like nobody ever before they lost something like that said like, okay, there's a problem. It wasn't me that lost. There was a problem with the system.
Yeah, if Donald Trump had lost Survivor Samoa, I could see him offering the mill. You know, $1 million to Natalie White to get the title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure this was invented by like 5-year-old children losing at Sorry, right? And being like, no, the dice rolled the wrong way because of the stupid tilt of the house. That's why I lost. It was the game.
Yeah. If the floor children, is flawed.
If my children complained using such eloquent language as the game is flawed, I would let them win.
Let them win.
All right. Well, you get to win because you constructed a very smart sentence.
Okay. All right, let's look at Russell, and I see a lot of pictures of Russell here. Mike, do you happen to know which Russell clip we're looking at?
Yeah, it's the one where the answer to "Where's my hat?" is right on your head, Russell. It's the look of him, I believe, in the reunion where he's just where "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend" comes on as he's playing in his head.
Okay, I think I got the right one. Let's see. Okay, here we go. All right. Is this correct Russell clip?
That's the correct Russell. Reunion. I also do believe Russell. He switched up the two Troyzans, because I do think Spin and Grin is from Troyzan getting the necklace. And him doing a little bit of a boogity boo is my island.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right. Let me see if I can correct this. Okay. So here we go. Let's move Spin and Grin down to the bottom here.
Who knew Troyzan would be so prominent?
Yeah. So much Troyzan. All right. The list is flawed. Okay. Russell, is he in Forget You Go Home Goodbye?
So here's the tough thing. How much demerits do you give? Because it's a use phrase, but it's not actually the thing that he said.
Yeah. I say put it next to Malcolm, one way or the other.
I mean, yeah, you're judging the catchphrase ultimately, not its origin.
Yeah, so in that perspective, then, I would put it above Malcolm. I feel like the blank is flawed. Has more usage, at least from what I've seen, than Hold Up Bro.
Yeah, it's definitely taken off much more than Hold Up Bro.
Okay, so there you go, there's Russell. The game is flawed, right behind Amber. Oh my god, it's so good. No, it's flawed.
Oh my god, it is so
flawed. Oh my god, it's so flawed. Okay. Mike.
All right, let's move on here. This is something that Scott wanted to put in that I think is very interesting, because this is a unique one. This is not necessarily like a catchphrase from a contestant. It's not really a catchphrase from Jeff Probst. This is a catchphrase from a season. I would suffice to say, I think this is the catchphrase of Survivor Ghost Island.
Can you reverse the curse?
Can you reverse the curse?
Who's saying that in that clip?
Yeah, who was that quote?
I don't know. It sounds like the human equivalent of a didgeridoo. Like so much.
Can we hear that again?
Yeah, let me see. I bet you it was Bradley.
Can you reverse the curse?
No, Dominic.
I think it's Dominic. Yeah, it's just Dominic's got like Dominic. That low, grumbly morning voice that he sounds like he's talking through one of those voice boxes. Yeah,
sounds like is he like reading the instructions or something?
All right, so this is the catchphrase of a season, Scott.
Yes, Rob, it's reverse the curse. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's one that they really tried
to make,
into a catchphrase. They really tried to make it happen. It's said many times throughout the season, partly because it is on the parchment and people have to read it. So they really were sort of forcing this catchphrase. I wanted this one because I thought it'd be fun to, you know, throw a few curveballs in here. It's always, you know,
fun.
They're just trying so hard to make this into something.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it worked. It rhymes.
You don't know?
It's kind of catchy. Yeah, I don't think it worked.
I think you know, Scott.
I don't think it worked. I don't think any curses were actually reversed. And it didn't ultimately even, you know, the whole Ghost Island concept was very muddled, as we know. So
no, I would say this is not even the most memetic moment from Ghost Island. I think what has transcended Ghost Island is Blank has been maturing on Ghost Island for several years and has turned into this. Like, I don't think people say reverse the curse anymore, which makes it the fetch of Survivor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is Gretchen Wieners at the helm being like, all right, let's throw out this phrase, reverse the curse. And despite them repeating it again and again, stop making reverse the curse happen. And it didn't. It was cursed in its own regard.
Well, can the clip reverse the curse?
Okay. Yeah, could it come back on another season and reverse its own curse?
Mike, which clip is reverse the curse? Which picture
That's
is that?
That's old grumbly himself, Dominic, sitting there reading it.
Okay, got it. All right. Kevin,
the
Dominic,
human didgeridoo.
Yeah. Can Dominic reverse the curse? Let's see.
That's what it sounds
see,
like.
It is catchy. See?
No, is that a catchphrase or is that just a sound?
I think it's just a sound.
Okay. Whoa.
All right, here we go. Reversing the curse. Can it beat Spinningrin?
I wonder if it's in the same category as this, you know?
I think it's the same category. I would have it ahead of Spinningrin.
Do you think it's better than Spinningrin?
Because Spinningrin has the oddness of it coming and going away so quickly, right? Like, Reverse the Curse, they at least tried to keep it going for an entire 14 episodes.
And Reverse the Curse is more memorable if you were to tell somebody, they would know where it's from.
Reverse the Curse is cute. It is not just absolutely terrible. The first time you hear Spinningrin, you're like, wait, what? What do you want me to do?
Especially because it's unprompted, right? Like, as Scott said,
it doesn't even make sense. They're taking the necklace away from you. Why would you even be grinning?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could see again a George Costanza bamboozled-esque rant about the phraseology Spinningrin. Reverse the curse is silly and schlocky, but it fit in with the context of the season.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not as good as the show should deserve.
Yeah. Or the show itself.
Yeah.
The show is better than this.
Absolutely.
You're better than this. All right. Mike, all right, we're down to the last 10.
Wow.
10. We're going quickly through those. But Rob, we're going to take you back, give you a little slice of home. We're going back to the Tombaki camp and hearing a little bit of inspirational speak from Mr. Butch Lockley.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, this is good because nobody else brought like the visual aid.
Could you imagine if Russell had a banner that says the game is flawed?
The game is flawed.
That's my Texas flag.
Every morning I wake up and I thank God for two things. One, I'm alive. And number two, that the game is flawed.
Oh my God, there is a flaw in this flag.
Thank the flawed.
Okay. Believe in yourself.
Yes. Rob, I want to know, so did this phrase catch on around camp? Did it, or did it have its intended intended purpose of unifying
the
and
only
motivating
time,
you guys?
No.
Did you get motivated?
The only time it ever came up was, I think after we lost, I think that Butch claimed that we believed in ourselves too much, I believe. He's like,
oh, wait a minute.
I think some of the guys might have been believing in themselves a little too much.
You took this too much to heart.
You took it too far.
It was too effective.
Yeah, he flew too close to the sun.
We believed in ourselves too much. Yeah, we didn't
it
believe in them.
Too well. So this wasn't, you guys weren't like kind of having down moments and then looking up and going, wait a minute. If we just believe in ourselves, like that banner says.
Yeah, but also like the banner shouldn't be a warning, right? It shouldn't be like a hubris or a cautionary tale of like, believe in yourself, asterisk, and not too much.
Nobody ever tells you that advice. Don't believe in yourself too much.
Now, had he brought that banner, would that have motivated you? Don't believe in yourself too much.
It's a reasonable happy medium to shoot for.
But it could
for.
Still say believe in yourself, but just in smaller letters, the don't.
Yeah, maybe like much. Believe in yourself, asterisk. Not that much, though.
Watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do not exceed normal belief dosage.
It was burnt to a flawed. This banner did end up burnt to a crisp.
Yes,
am I correct?
Yeah, appropriately. Yes.
By Butch himself.
Mm-hmm. So that's correct.
A fitting metaphor.
Yeah, he believed in the concept of wood too much, and then he paid for it.
Mm. Okay. I like that he has the visual aid.
Yeah. I know. I think that's partially what puts it on here. I think the fact that Butch also came in with a catchphrase, right? Like this
the
is catch something
sign.
That he clearly like also fostered this identity around the school that he was a part of as well. So like this is something he brought into the game, which maybe outside of Sandra, I don't think any of these other people have.
On the other hand, he didn't coin this phrase. He didn't.
Are we sure,
and it didn't
Scott?
Come out. He might have been the first to say believe in yourself. I'm going to Google that. And no, he wasn't the first to say. But he and sure, some, you know, the others were not coined, but it didn't roll out of his mouth organically. And on the other hand, there is something very endearing about it. It's very sweet that he brought this.
It is, it is one of the more sincere catchphrases, right? It's not like, oh, believe in yourself, like, which is legitimately wanting to be motivational here.
Dude.
Yeah.
Basically, believe in yourself, dude.
Hmm. Okay.
Don't believe in yourself too much or your tribe don't want you around here no more.
All right. Let's go to the board for Butch's believe in yourself. Okay. So it's definitely not forget you go home goodbye.
Yeah, but it's definitely it ain't no Hershey bar. I'm trying to figure out where it lies. Like, does it clear the not a catchphrase or mangled catchphrase of the three amigos that are Russell, Malcolm, and Tony?
Let's see. New three amigos.
If you had a T-shirt, Scott, that said "Believe in yourself." In this blue background with this font, would you immediately recognize it as Butch's flag?
I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I don't think most people would. It would be even better if Butch's face were in there looking with that look he had on his face when he discovered that he burnt down the camp.
Mike, what if there were flames behind the banner on the T-shirt?
That feels ironic, doesn't it? Or unless it's like, I don't know, is this a satanic cult?
You're on fire.
Believe in yourself and... Believe in yourself and the devil.
But that would be a great T-shirt. Believe in yourself and it's on fire. It's a reference to that moment. It's ironic. Put a little RHAP logo on there. You're set.
Mm.
I'm going to defer to you, Rob. I mean, where you were there. You lived with this.
You lived
this banner. You lived believing yourself.
How about this? Could this be RHAP merch? Could we change the banner to... Believe in yourself.
That's it. Print it. It's happening. Tricky. It's real. It's happening right now. Okay.
I'm gonna wear that shirt.
With flames.
I want the flame version.
Yes, also make the O in yourself needs to be a bell.
Okay. All right. Good. I like it.
Except maybe not from above, because then it looks like a nipple.
I mean, we'll get that ready for when we get to Survivor Amazon in the all-time top 40 rankings. All right. Is it better than Bamboozled? I feel like it's not as iconic as Bamboozled.
As Bamboozled. I would put it behind, basically, I'm a badass.
I'm a badass. Okay, ahead of Reem?
I think ahead of Reem.
Dude, screw you.
I think it's the polar opposite of Reem's intent.
I like it as before Reem, because then Reem is responding to believe in yourself.
Screw you, dude. Okay.
Tell me to believe in myself.
All right. Mike, what's next?
All right. Well, we talked about if sounds can be catchphrases. Let me throw another one up for debate here. Is Bing a catchphrase?
I think it is. I don't think it's a sound. I can spell Bing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's ahead of woo woo. It's a word that you can spell and recognize. If I see a t-shirt or a lunchbox with Carl's face and the word Bing and a big exclamation point.
I was gonna say, if you see a t-shirt that says Bing, it's like, oh, like, would you go to like some conference for SEO?
Yeah. And if I see a lunchbox with Carl Brugero's face in it with the word Bing above it, I'm wondering what those parents gave them, those children, to go to lunch with.
Yeah. That idle nullifier.
I think it's big. I think it's good. This is another one that got repeated by other cast members that same.
Yeah, I believe it was Kara and Allison and Angelina say it to Carl after they vote him out.
Cebu.
Yeah. They use it back on him, which is heavy. It's also from
like
a very
nullifier. Yeah.
You go. They nullify.
He used it and they
use
it back on him.
They nullify.
It's the catchphrase nullifier.
Yeah.
From a very iconic moment.
I do think it is uniquely attached to Cebu himself, Carl Boudreau.
Yeah, I mean, most people would say Ding, but he gave it that Cebu twist.
Yeah, the point where Rob, the discourse on your podcast for those couple of weeks was it Bing or was it Ding?
And it was Bing for Boudreau.
The clip is
flawed.
Unless, was Carl trying to manifest a Friends reunion years before it took place? Get me Bing!
Could it be any more foreshadowing?
I think he not only put that kind of spin on it, made it Bing instead of Ding, he unleashed it at the perfect moment. So it had maximum impact.
All right.
I think that counts for a lot.
All right. So here is Carl, God the Godfather. Here he is. All right. Where do we stop with the Godfather? Does he make it through Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scott's making a lot of big points. I think it's got to be in My Life is Fine.
Okay. So where do we go? Is he better than This Is My Island?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
You think so?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Better than
More
Bro
iconic.
I Know.
I feel like Bro, it's tough because like Bro I Know and Stick to the Plan are so emblematic of those characters. I don't know what Bing says about Carl.
This was his one moment, though. Like, I feel like that Michelle's like, Bro, I Know, like, she has to win. She kicks the puzzle. She says other things. This is all, with all due respect, in terms of like, this is the lasting image. But I kind of feel like this is it. I feel like this is where it belongs.
You stop it there.
I think I'd stop it there.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's a little higher, but I'll go
How
with
high
that.
Do you want to go? Higher than Bro I Know?
Yeah, I mean, I almost, I would let it rise to the top of this guy.
Oh, Mike, what do you think?
But,
maybe it's just because we haven't had as many seasons of it. I've seen more applications of Bro I Know and Stick to the Plan than I have Bing, personally.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so... All right. Let's leave it here for now. And Mike, all right, here we go. Let's get to our still 8 more to go.
Yeah, but this is a fun one. And it's one from season 7.
The other ones are not.
Yeah, exactly. This is the one fun one. I mentioned that Sandra certainly had a response to being next to Johnny Fairplay in the list. And here it is.
You know what? I can get it out too. What the f-?
Yeah.
I can get loud too. What the F?
Legendary. Yeah. Legendary.
Wow. Queen stays queen, Scott.
She remains the queen.
Mm-hmm.
There's no truer statement.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got so many great ones, and this is one of them. This is certainly iconic.
And I would say this might be, I mean, Sandra has that moment in the premiere, right, where she's speaking Spanish and talks about, I think she would love to have to Trish in a sexual way, but I think this was like Sandra's first big moment of the series on Survivor was her fight with Johnny Fairplay, storming out of the shelter after he hears her talking crap about her, saying, "I can get loud too. What the F?"
The way she just sprang to life in that moment.
I can get loud too. What the F? Do you think that she invented that, Scott? Did anybody ever say that before?
I believe that's unique to Sandra. Mm. I believe she put those words together.
Well, mm-hmm. to be fair, I do believe Get Loud was probably popularized by Gloria Estefan, was it not?
Let's get loud. What the F? Yeah.
She didn't just say Get Loud. She's the one who packaged
and
that.
You know what?
It came right out of her. It just poured out of her.
Oh, yeah, and also clarification. It was Jennifer Lopez, because now I remember at the inauguration, right, when she put Let's Get Loud into the middle of America the Beautiful.
Mm.
That was a beautiful moment.
She said WTF. Okay. Let's look at Sandra. Is it possible? Could Sandra have two clips worth playing for? Is that possible?
I think so.
I think
I really
she's had
do.
Two, at least two games worth playing for. So
Queen stays queen.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
the
I think.
F?
This is a phrase that I see very frequented. I think this is a top tier Sandra moment as well. It describes her so well, right? Like she can get loud too. She also can cuss like a sailor, which the curse word gets thrown in here as well. Like I think it's sort of like almost two different sides of Sandra. Like this is Sandra's more bristling argumentative side. Mm-hmm. And the Queen Stays Queen is more of like Sandra's cool, confident side.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Should it be higher than Thunder D? Should it be back to back, Sandra?
This is tough. This is tough because the Thunder D moment itself is so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But I might say yes. I mean, I think the phrase "I can get loud to WTF" is used more
mm-hmm.
and memed more.
Right.
Than
I think
she died.
I think maybe "she died, dude" is more iconic, but I think "I can get loud too" is more of a catchphrase.
What do you think, Rob?
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like that we're venturing outside of what a catchphrase is supposed to be. Like, I'm not sure how many of the boxes "I can get loud to WTF" checks as far as being a catchphrase. Is it an iconic line? Certainly. But to compare it just to "the Queen Stays Queen," "the Queen Stays Queen" is repeated. Like it is right. Like the signature line. This is like an iconic line from Survivor, but is it a catchphrase?
Right.
It's a phrase.
It's a phrase, but has it been, yeah.
I think it's been catchy. I think it's caught, at least with the community. That being said, I'm fine putting "she died, dude" in between here. Now we're pissing Sandra off doubly, because now Johnny Fairplay is in between two Sandras.
Yeah, she could yell at them.
Yeah, it's Sandra in stereo.
Fairplay's buddy. Yeah. So
it's not you, John. It's your friend.
So
his grandmother died, Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know about that.
Okay. What do you think? Is this good? Is this?
I think it's good.
I'm good with this. Yeah,
I think it's good. I think "she died, dude" is
yeah
legendary. I think we're good.
Okay. Maybe some people are saying now not so much, "oh my God, it is not so good. The list is flawed."
Sandra being in the top tier twice, I think, is
yeah, come perfect. On.
I know this is the first, I think, perfect. Because of the rule that I used before. You know, we wouldn't have had this previously, but now
we've got once again, she's the second, the first two-time winner.
Mm-hmm. Mike,
once again,
what do you have coming up now?
All right. So, listen, you mentioned the game is flawed. I've got another one for you from Russell Hans that Rob, I know you love.
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
It's one that's gotten a lot of utility out of you after the EOS. Specifically, it's more so like, I don't even like the blank.
So I love this clip, but I don't think this is a catchphrase. I thought that we've sort of like adventured into like best soundboard clips and not necessarily.
But I think people use it as a phrase. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, what's the difference between that and people using "bro, I know"? You know, like I think that it's a phrase that Russell uses, and people, including yourself, use it a lot. That's a catchphrase from that second perspective.
So,
I thought,
but I don't even know if Russell Hans is aware that "I don't even like the blank" is a quote, whereas at least Michelle is familiar with "bro, I know."
Does that say more about Russell or the quote?
What do you think, Scott?
You know, I I'm not crazy about this one. I mean, I agree it's a good clip and it's fun to make it into other things. I don't know how much it's really caught on in general.
I don't even like that little catchphrase.
I don't even like your take, Scott Cherna. That's a cold take.
Your takes are flawed.
It's very flawed. I enjoy Russell as a, you know, as a viewer. To me, there's so many more entertaining things that he said. This one is something that works best when you kind of memeify it and take out the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's a bit of a strike against it.
Right. So it's like a,
like
a
the
hat
strikes
in a manner
that the Boston Red Sox get.
Well, it's like a hat in a manner of speaking, ironically enough, right? Like it can be worn on many heads as a catchphrase
that
Rob tried to put
out.
Yeah, exactly. To quote a catchphrase that I think Rob tried to put out in the universe back in the day.
Mm. So, all right, let's look at this. This is fun. I don't know if it fits the definition of a catchphrase.
All right, well, is it above the game is flawed? Let's see. Let's start by comparing it to the other Russell phrase we have on the map here.
Okay. Well, this was said on the show.
That's true.
It was actually said. Mm-hmm. So that's a plus.
Yeah. So,
but as we've said, it's not used in its full form.
I wouldn't put it in Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye.
Definitely not.
No.
Hmm. So Malcolm is already next to Russell Hance, who for saying the game is flawed and that there is a flaw in this game. There's a flaw in the game of baseball also.
How did the Boston Red Sox ever come back and win after all those years?
I mean, the fans should be the flat rule.
They should vote on who wins the game.
Yeah. America at the end
if
of the season.
The audience had voted.
The audience should vote on who played the best game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I slide home, they call it a blind slide.
Where are we? Okay. All right. So. Well, I mean, I kind of feel like, should Malcolm be bookended by Russell?
Do you think it should go above ooh-ooh?
Yeah.
What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I like bookending Malcolm with Russell. I think I like ooh-ooh better just because it's more fun and it's catchier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I might put ooh-ooh above I don't even like, because I feel like ooh-ooh, again, was repeated by other contestants. I don't think anyone was like, because it was said in confessional, let alone, I don't think anyone's like, oh, Russell's always saying, I don't even like Boston Rob.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mike, what's next?
Well, this is one that I think was one of the very first GIFs that we did with Chappelle. Was not a high-tier finisher there. Let's see if it does any better here.
Sneaky, sneaky!
Okay.
Mm.
Is this a catchphrase, Rob?
Yes.
Okay. Passes that test.
It's clearly a catchphrase. It's said by Kelly Wentworth. It is, you could have a t-shirt with Kelly Wentworth's face on it. It says sneaky, sneaky. Aubrey cites it in season 38. She says like sneaky, sneaky, like Kelly Wentworth. So, I mean, this passes checklist for me.
And I would say that I think this is probably one of Wentworth's most memorable quotes. I think maybe the quote about her, Wentworth will not count, might supersede it, but like this is something you remember Kelly Wentworth for.
This is
sneaky, sneaky.
Definitely more of a catchphrase than a GIF.
Definitely.
That was the big argument, as I recall, from your GIF.
Mm-hmm.
This is the spiritual sequel. It's found its home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's place it. All right. So here we go. Let's look at Kelly Wentworth, sneaky, sneaky. Here we go. And again, I think this is sort of like where we've talked about some of the better ones where it is very much emblematic of Kelly Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's her. She was like this very wily player. I believe this quote was from the very first episode of Cambodia, right? When she gets given the task to go find the idol in the challenge, which was a big paradigm shift in the game as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's at least in my life is fine. I think it's in my life is fine.
Yeah, I think it's got big bro I know energy.
Mm-hmm. I think it's better than This Is My Island.
Yes.
It's
better than Bing.
Better than Bing.
Like Google, better than Bing.
Should, can it that pass, bro? I know.
Should she be next to Keith Nail? Is this some serious Cambodia second chances energy?
Is she fated to always be with Keith Nail?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you bring up an interesting point, Scott, that this is almost like the delighted version of Bro I Know.
Yeah.
Like if, Bro I Know is, Wednesday Adams, Sneaky is that girl Huxley? Who goes to summer camp with her in Adams Family Values. Like very, very
exactly
high energy.
What I was thinking.
Very positive. Exactly. I was on your wavelength, Scott.
Seeing those two thumbnails next to each other, Bro I Know and Sneaky, you can really see the symmetry and the contrast right
yeah.
there. They're posed similarly, but opposite the way the frame is composed. And Kelly is, like you said, so delighted.
Yeah. Okay. I like this. Good spot. All right. Top five baby, Mike.
All right. Let me welcome in the top five here.
Morning, guys.
That's it. That's our fifth from the bottom. Come on in, guys, as said by Jeff Probst.
Why did Come On In, Guys make the cut as opposed to First Things First, immunity is back up for grabs, or
I mean, that's,
it
that's
is
too
time
long.
To vote, or any of the other Jeff-isms?
Well, I think Come On In, Guys. Come On In, Guys has been ruined for me by Dalton Ross, who pointed out that every time Jeff Probst says Come On In, Guys, it's said with the exact same cadence. He's looking down for some reason at the exact same spot on the ground. So I think what maybe puts this in above other Jeff Probst isms is the fact that he does it almost with the exact same tone, no matter where they are, no matter where it is in the season. He never says Come On In, Guys any differently, as opposed to Worth Playing For, It Is Time to Vote. Always has different rhythms and melodies. This is the same old song.
Does he say it One World when it's an all-female Final Five? Does he get to Come On In, Guys?
I think he does. Like, I think he uses that that like catch-all term to refer to all people.
I think we would have noticed if he didn't.
Yeah, that would have been a spinning grin moment, right?
Yeah. Come on in, gals.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, there's so many Jeff Probstisms. It is difficult to narrow them down. This one, I mean, this is a great one, and it works, and it's in all the episodes. I don't know how much it's really caught on beyond that. Although when I say that, I can say that I have called my children into bath time or bedtime many times by saying, come on in, guys, in a Jeff Probst cadence.
That's the thing. I think what I love about it is that it's, I love you, Jeff. It's so oddly said. Here, I'm going to play it again.
Come on in, guys!
Why does he say it like that?
Come on in, guys!
Yeah, what? First of all, yes! Why is he blazing through it like a maglev train? Just like, come on, guys! Like, it's even 20 years, he's still saying it a mile a minute. But then, to your point, Scott, he builds to a crescendo on the word guys. We would be like, come on in, you know? Like, on is the reference, the preposition, not guys.
And what is the in? They're out. Come on out, guys. Like, they're hiding, like, in the bushes. I've been there. You're sitting in the bushes. Like,
only if there's, like, listen, we've been on set. There is no door that they have to walk through to get to Jeff Probst. So, yeah, they
come over to where
there's
I
a door,
am,
but you're, like,
guys.
Standing off in, like, the tree line, right? And then you go to the mat. If anything, you're come on out, guys.
Stop hiding, guys.
Come out wherever you are.
And
guys.
You're hiding. You are hiding where the other tribe can't see you.
Yeah, so it's an odd phrase. And much as we talked about how spin and grin was like, oh, Jeff's trying out this one-time thing and he gets rid of it, this has been, in my opinion, the most consistent thing about Jeff Probst as, even beyond a Survivor host, a person over the past 20 years. And it is staggering to me that you go to Sonya's, you know, the first episode of season 1 and you go to the last episode of season 40, still the same energy, still the same emphasis for some reason, still the same meter, the same cadence. It has been the constant of Survivor.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not that excited. I don't know the utility.
Yeah,
go ahead.
For Come On In, Guys, but let's see.
I mean, you know, it's sort of his let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah. It's not gross. Don't dislike it.
Oh, no, well, this is his Come On Down, is it not?
Yeah, Come On Down.
All right. Come On In, Guys. Better than Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye. It's an Ain't No Hershey Bar, at least.
Yeah, I think this is, as weird as it is the Jeff Probst catchphrase that works, unlike Spin and Grin.
Yep. So,
And he does say it on the show, so I think I would have to put it above that entire bottom row,
okay,
at least.
He says it, and I can see it on the shirt. I would know what
it means. It is a catchphrase.
Should it be at the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar?
I'm good with that, personally. I don't think it is... Like, I could see maybe the bottom of my life is fine, but I think it's around that range.
Yeah.
I think that it's not exactly like the tribe has spoken, as Scott spoke about in the very beginning of this podcast, has been mentioned so many times. Come on in, guys, has not made it out of the starting gate in terms of Jeff Probst catchphrases.
I like it here because it's sort of like kicking off a tier of just a bunch of stuff. Like, come on in, guys. Here's the tier of I've been bamboozled. Basically, I'm a badass. Believe in yourself. Screw you, so dude. Yeah.
Drew and Richard and Reem are among the guys that he's telling to come on
Banner,
in.
Banner, come on in.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself, Banner. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Two Russells.
Why
Tony
not?
Sound effects.
Why not? Okay.
All right.
Anything else on come on in, guys?
No, it's just I hope I broke people's analysis of that, much like the way that Dalton Ross broke it for me. I'm paying it forward, as Scott said at the beginning. I'm excited for it to come back. I can't wait to tune into the Survivor 41 premiere, because that is like, again, it's a warm bowl of chicken noodle soup. It's something you always know will be good, and you'll always come home to, and you'll be like, I don't know what this tastes like, but I'm grateful that I have it back in my life.
It's a warm bowl of beef stew.
Mm-hmm. Beef stew!
With some root beer.
All right. Mike, we have 4 clips left. What do you got?
All right. Well, listen, we're going to say goodbye, or I guess hello, to Russell Hands one more time. But I guess this is a bit of like an assist here, because while Russell's saying it, he is not the only person to say it in Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
If you ain't with me, you against me.
Okay.
So this is a take on, if you ain't with me, you against me, which they say, Boss and Rob initially said a version of it, then Russell took it, then Parvati pointed out that Russell took it. And then Sandra, of course, has the memorable moment of, I'm against you, Russell.
Yeah, I like this one, Scott.
I like it. I like that it's said a lot. I do think that when I hear it, what I jump to in my mind is Sandra's response, which is maybe the best part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does the call work without the response?
Only in that it's... So that one worked.
Yeah. Is that Dominic?
Whoa.
It's Dominic backing me up.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's repeated. It's said by multiple players. It has to do with the game. Those are all good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how fun it is as a catchphrase.
It does feel, though, a good microcosm of both Russell and Boston Rob, right? Like, that speaks so much about both of their games. If you're not with me, you're against
me.
Okay,
here we go.
I
know where
this
goes on the list.
All right, do it. Yeah.
All right,
here we go. This clip that is the bond between Russell and Boston Rob should go.
Oh, no, I know where it's going.
It should go exactly on the bridge between Amber and Russell on the countdown. It should go right in between them. Right in between, my God, it is so good, and the game is flawed.
Look at Russell in those pictures. He's right in between Rob and Amber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love the placement. I would personally put it a little higher, but I can understand for symmetry's sake if you want to put it here.
Scott, how high would you go with this?
Not that high. I think it's good. I think it's good where it is. I think it's a good one. I think, to me, the biggest flaw in it is that it's just not as fun as a catchphrase. It's not like a fun one.
That's true. I do think that Reams and Ambers, I think, are very fun, right? Like, Drew's is very fun. Going on a cruise is fun. I don't know if you're not with me, you're against me. It has a lot of fun in like how many times it's repeated throughout the season, but the phrase itself is not necessarily, and maybe like stick to the plan. This is also one of those ones that sort of transcended the people and became this idea that reverberated throughout the game for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it's repeated by three, pretty major players. So I think it's good. I think it's solid. I think it's good where it is. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. My life is fine there.
Okay. Mike, am I moving it?
I would personally like to move it up, but if you two are fine with placing it, I'm good having it sit pat right here.
Let's get to our last three.
I wouldn't argue either way.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do a final little audit at the end here where we can evaluate things.
All right. What else we
Richard,
got?
Richard, don't quake in your boots when I say audit, Richard Hatch. Okay. So speaking of, you mentioned top five before. And listen, I knew we were all thinking it as soon as you said top five.
Top five, baby.
Mm-hmm. I repeat it immediately.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, that's an interesting one. I feel like it's that I say it a lot. I don't know if the show has really made a meal out of it.
I mean, I don't know how much the show has made a meal out of any of these. You know, I think that the sort of fan community certainly has, even besides you. Mm-hmm. I think that there are certainly people out there who will say top five while really trying not to fit baby into it in a professional context, because then that would just be weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I think it's used and caught on. It's short, it's crisp, you know, and it's got that baby that would otherwise be so awkward.
Top five, dude.
Top five, dude.
Yeah, so that's the thing again, dude and bro have that sort of like dismissive energy to it. This is encouraging.
Yeah.
Baby is the believe in yourself term of like, we're doing it, baby. We're shooting for the moon. It's happening, baby.
Basically, I'm top five.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm a top five badass.
She died, baby. That's the saddest one, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely more of like a reconciliation. Like, I'm sorry, baby. She died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and I think Sandra could do Queen Stays.
I've been
Queen
bamboozled,
Stays,
baby.
Yeah, yeah, I think Queen Stays Queen Baby could still work, right? Like, oh, Queen Stays Queen Baby. That, again, is like that high energy component to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's see where we are with the top five baby. Does it make the top five? Probably.
I wonder. I think it definitely is in My Life is Fine.
Okay.
Because I think there's been a lot of application of it. I do think it represents Tony, right, in that it's like very frazzled. It's a little all over the place. He uses the word baby, which is like a Tony, not a Tony-ism, but something that Tony mm-hmm. would do. I guess the question is, I mean, technically, if it's at the top here, it has made the top five, baby.
Yeah. To me,
go ahead.
I don't even think it's better than anything that's in My Life is Fine.
Yeah, I was going to say where I see it is right now at the bottom of My Life is Fine is I wouldn't take it any higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, but I don't think it matches. Yeah.
I don't even know if it's as good as I've Been Bamboozled.
I think it's better than I've Been Bamboozled.
Yeah.
Because again, I think nobody has used I've Been Bamboozled. So many people are saying top five, baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock made a movie called Top Five, which I have to assume was inspired by Tony
sure.
Blanchett.
All right, Scott, how high should it go?
I think it's good exactly where it is.
I think it
has been used. It's good in My Life is Fine. It's been used by people, by fans. It's better than Come On In, Guys, mm-hmm. which has not been used by anybody other than Jeff Probst.
Okay. Mike, how do you feel?
I'm good with it here. I do think it still is distinct from the stuff in Ain't No Hershey Bar to put it in My Life is Fine.
Yeah.
But I can understand if the ways that you use it, Rob, maybe don't necessarily measure up to like the way everyone else might use it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm that much on an island with how I'm using Top Five, baby?
This is your island. But that's what you're saying, though, right? It's because you're saying like, oh, I don't know if anyone else uses top five.
How
baby.
Much more you, are people saying top five baby than I am?
People are saying, no, I'm saying that you just said previously in this podcast, you said, well, I don't know if people are saying top five baby besides me. That's
maybe
exactly
not in North Carolina.
Maybe.
But here.
Yeah. Okay.
You're right. In the big city.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So. Now that you're in North Carolina, when March Madness comes around, you can say top whatever baby.
Top five baby. Yeah. Okay. All right, then let's go to our top two, baby. Our last two entries. Okay, which one are we going with, Mike?
Well, we're going to finish off with a Borneo 1-2 punch. And let's start with someone who probably threw a few mean punches back in the day. The late, great Rudy Bosch in the infamous Survivor Blair Witch Challenge.
I don't know.
This was big.
This is so good.
That was
amazing.
Big. That was
I mean, I can vividly remember watching it for the first time back in 2000 and just thinking it was one of the greatest things I'd ever seen on television.
So funny.
Yeah, I mean, It's one of the greatest Survivor comic moments, because again, it's so not even earnest. Again, Rudy doesn't necessarily meet it. I know he's a very dry person, but it's him going through this challenge. He was told this entire story, wasn't paying attention whatsoever. And so when you have this camera focused on the corner of his face, he just goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the humor comes from the fact that it ends up becoming a catchphrase because he repeats it two other times in the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the buildup. There's a huge buildup every time, you know, the story, and then a buildup every time he runs to the next station, and a little bit of a pause. And then, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah. It was a great Rudy moment. I think it really encapsulates Rudy in terms of, like, I don't know was his catchphrase, but this was certainly an iconic phrase associated with him.
Yeah, I think this is one of the more infamous Rudy moments. He's had a lot, and he's had
he
a lot of...
He had probably some other catchphrases that you definitely would not want on a t-shirt. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one that you can wear to your family reunion if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Let's look at Rudy's I don't know. I'd say that very oddly.
Yeah, you're saying it like, come in, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know, bro. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna. Speaking of bro, I'm gonna look back, and my life is fine here.
Okay. My life is fine for Rudy.
Yeah, because I think again, this is like a famous moment on the show. This is something that gets quoted a lot. I don't know if people are using it all the time to be like, oh, let me use Rudy's meme. I don't know, because again, as Scott said, it's a commonly used phrase. But I feel like if they're coming up with a Rudy catchphrase for that Rudy action figure that came out from Survivor, I don't know, it's got to be it.
Is it better than Top 5 Baby?
What do you think, Scott?
The moment is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I'm struggling with is the moment is better. Rudy is a legend. I love him. I'm looking at this category and I'm seeing Keith at the top and Rudy at the bottom, and something in my head is saying, no way can Rudy be behind Keith on anything. But at the same time, is I don't know an iconic catchphrase?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking maybe it's more of an iconic moment, a hilarious moment, but is it the greatest catchphrase? So
I mean, to be fair, we gave the bump to I don't can get loud to what the F, for to Rob's point, maybe not being necessarily a catchphrase that a lot of people use. So I mean, it's also a catchphrase in that Rudy uses it himself a lot on the island. It was
true.
In the same challenge. It was in a 5-minute period, but it is technically a catchphrase because of that.
Yeah. I mean, if you just write down I don't know without noting it's connected to Rudy or Survivor, would Survivor fans immediately think of Rudy?
No, but I could see it on a t-shirt with Rudy's face.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I would buy that t-shirt in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Okay. All right,
so does it move up?
You want to leave it here?
Where do you think? Do you think it should rise higher in this category?
I am okay with it here, because I think Top 5 Baby has the applicability and I don't know has the catchphrase aspect. So I think it really depends on like what beats out what here, but I don't think either of them rise above This Is My Island.
All right, well, let's get to the last one on the list, Mike. What do you got?
Well, okay, so this, I wanted to finish on a very unique note, because there is a phrase that has become synonymous with reality television. And believe it or not, like many things reality TV, it all started in Survivor Borneo when Kelly Wigglesworth talks about the difficulty in playing the game and voting people out. This is what she says.
I didn't come here to make friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So people might not remember. Obviously, there's been a lot of meme stuff about, like, I'm not here to make friends. But people might not remember, all the way back in 2000, Kelly Wigglesworth probably was the very first person to say that phrase in reality TV.
It's historic.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we did not even know she said it, is it a good catchphrase?
I mean, it's good in that it has been utilized in literally every form of the genre since. I cannot think of a show where at least one contestant has not said some either literal or paraphrased version of, I'm not here to make friends. It has become woven into the DNA. Mm-hmm. It is part of adenine and guanine and cytosine. Is I'm not here to make friendzine. It's something that literally has been said on every single show, and it all started here on Borneo.
Yeah.
I have no idea what any of that meant.
Yeah, but, I don't know either. Was that like chemistry?
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like chemistry.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's transcended, Kelly. I mean...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It hasn't gone as far as the tribe has spoken, and that has permeated the greater American sort of culture and vocabulary, but it has reached its tentacles out far mm-hmm. into the world of reality TV.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would go so far as to say, if you said which Survivor Borneo contestant said I'm not here to make friends, I think Kelly Wigglesworth is maybe like number 10 on that list of what you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is interesting that she's the one who coined that. I don't know that it passes the t-shirt test. It's not like a hugely fun one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't associate it with Kelly, but it is a phrase that
certainly
has
a phrase.
Caught on. It is certainly a phrase, but it is also caught on. It's got the phrase and the catch, you know, so that it's got that going for it.
Yeah. So it's a really unique one again, because like, I don't think we associate it with Survivor, but it is such an important, it's arguably maybe one of the most important catchphrases we have encountered on this list.
So I'm interested to know where you want to place this, Mike.
I don't know. Cause like, again, how much does importance weigh out over almost like memorability? I could be convinced to put it in worth playing for because of its importance, but I could also be convinced to put it in like my life is fine because it's really not that memorable from Kelly.
This is a list of Survivor's most iconic catchphrases that I think it's like a sentiment that was repeated by many people across multiple shows, but I don't know if it was an iconic Survivor catchphrase.
I mean, True. This one it's a little bit Mandela'd in that it's not, oh, they didn't say this word or they didn't say this sentence. It's more so like, oh, it came from this show and I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Like people might assume that like a show that like Top Chef introduced, I'm not here to make
Here's
friends.
What I'm thinking with this. Like, was this just like not even that it was parroted, that this was like such an original thought? Nobody had ever thought this before. Or did people who never even saw this just all come up with people on Big Brother who had not seen this particular episode of Survivor say like, hey, I didn't come here to make friends. Just like, is it right. just sort of like it's something that you would say in anybody would say this in one of these situations?
Was it inevitable?
Yes.
And it was just that Kelly's not necessarily special. She just happened to be the first person to say it.
I think so.
I guess in this context, because we talked about how some, like the person almost means more than the phrase. I think in this case, the phrase means a lot more than the person, but how much weight does that bear?
Yeah, I mean, this could have been said by anyone. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly a successful catchphrase to the point where we're just used to hearing it. We don't even realize it came from Survivor. But is that potentially a mark against it? Because like you said, Rob, we're looking at the most iconic Survivor catchphrases. And I've been thinking about it mostly in terms of the iconic part of that. But there's also the Survivor part. And like, is this a phrase that's associated with Survivor? Tribe has spoken is associated with Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. It's unsolvable.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to have to walk away.
Yeah. I'm not particularly high on it. I just think that it's something that it was like a sentiment that was bound to be said and thought of by people competing on these shows.
All right. Well, let's break it down then. Let's see what Scott didn't talk about syntax. So is it iconic? Yes, but not necessarily in the Survivor context.
I think it's common. I don't know if it's iconic.
Is it Survivor? No, as Scott said, like it's affiliated with so many shows that people don't remember it. Is it a catchphrase? Yes. So if it fulfills one out of the three criteria, I think for me that puts it in an Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Okay, I would agree.
I think we can do like 1 out of 3 is Ain't No Hershey Bar, 2 out of 3 is My Life Is Fine, 3 out of 3 is Worth Playing For.
Sure.
I think that makes that sense.
It's good that on the very last one, we cracked the rubric of
we
how to
finally
do this.
Figured it out.
All right. So, Mike, how high should it go?
Good question. I mean, it was said on the show, so I wonder if it goes above all. And I know you want to keep your Russell Robb connection going.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be? Should it be thematically? Should it be right behind Ream or in front of Ream?
Yeah, I like it being next to Amber in that it is something that is like said, but people don't even realize that it's like a catchphrase.
Mm.
Like there's some poetry there with Amber's. Oh my God, it's so good that she doesn't realize that it's also her catchphrase.
And it does feel like Ream and Kelly both have that same energy, right? Of like, dude, screw you. I'm not here to make friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I don't care if the tribe doesn't want me around here no more.
Mm-hmm. All right. Boy, this is our jam. I think this might be the list we've done with the most entries in the history of Outwit Outplay Outlast.
Like, we can't even fill... We can't even... we have to, you know, smush the screen down a little bit to get the full list here.
Okay, let's see what I can do here. All right.
Another record broken.
All right, let's just take a look in retrospect at the list and any changes we want to make. Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye consists of the didgeridoo of
domgeridoo, bro.
Yeah. Reverse the Curse and Spinning Grid.
Yeah, I think it makes sense that Spinning Grin's at the bottom here for many reasons. It's the worst offender in all the categories.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Appropriately, perfect. Jeff Probst says, come on in, guys, at the head of Ain't No Hershey Bar to the Australian Survivor Tribe of 12, which is, come on in, guys. I've been bamboozled. Basically, I'm a badass. Believe in yourself. Screw you, dude. I didn't come here to make friends. Oh my God, it's so good. Well, the Russell one is that
if you're not with me, you're against me.
The game is flawed, aka appears to be a flaw in the game. The Hold Up Reynold, aka Hold Up Bro. Woo-hoo! And I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this now. It feels like Believing Yourself is a little too high.
Oh,
I don't know.
Believing Yourself too much.
I don't know.
But
I also now I'm looking at this. I'm like, I don't know if it's worse than Ream. I don't know if it's worse than Kelly. I don't know if it's worse than Amber. So maybe it ends up settling into the right spot.
Okay. I mean, you tell me if you want to adjust it one way or the other.
Yeah, I think this is okay. Maybe the only other one I would suggest would be switching Richard and Drew. Because Drew was one of the first ones that we did. Now let's look back on it. Is this the right positioning for him?
What do you think, Scott?
I think they're both good. I guess I'm a Badass basically is used a little bit more than Bamboozled. I personally prefer I've Been Bamboozled, but I'm an old school guy.
Mm-hmm.
/ an old guy.
Hmm.
Who went to school.
I did go to school.
Mike, last looks. What do you want to do?
I say swap Drew and Richard.
Okay.
But if I get out overruled here, I'm fine.
It's fine. Okay. My life is fine. All right. My life is fine. Starts with Keith Nail with Stick to the Plan. Kelly Wentworth, Sneaky Sneaky. Bro, I know. Carl Boudreau says, bing! We have This Is My Island. Top 5 Baby, and I don't know.
This looks good to me.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
And Worth Playing For, our Mount Rushmore, Top 4 Baby, is from 4 to 1. The Sandra clip is I Can Get Loud 2, WTF. We have mm-hmm. She Died, Dude, The Queen Stays Queen, and The Tribe Has Spoken.
Yeah, I think we can't really... We talked before with I Can Get Loud, too, about how I don't think it can move past She Died, Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are. I think this looks good to me. This feels good.
Terrible,
okay. There you
That's
go.
That's great.
That is... There's your list,
like a
everybody.
Dream come true.
We did it.
I love that there's not only two Sandras in the top four, but two Pearl Islands.
Yeah. Scott, can you predict the Survivor 41 catchphrase that is going to take the world by storm this fall?
It's going to be, I ain't got no COVID.
I ain't got no COVID.
Yeah, that's going to be said
like
by
Ray Parker
least,
Jr.'s playing.
Yeah, it's going to be at least 3 castaways we'll be saying. That's my prediction. Take it to the bank. That's wow. gonna probably be in the
get
worst
that on a t-shirt
here.
yeah yeah
when we come together and do, you know, the next
now,
generation.
Is that a double negative, Scott?
Years.
I ain't got no COVID. Is that actually that you
it
do
is,
have COVID?
That's what makes it so charming and hilarious.
Yeah, if you big brain it, that's the thing. It's like, oh my God, they do have
they
COVID.
Do, especially when you think about, you know, the survivor player, you know, Rusty, who's saying it. It's just so rusty.
Rusty.
It's so him.
Yeah. Rusty Hunt.
It's an iconic moment for him.
It'd be so iconic. Okay. All right. Scott, what's next for you? Now
what
that you've done this, you've accomplished
now,
so much.
Now, I can, now that I've accomplished this, yeah, now that I've binged this off the list, I can just move on to, you know, I'm just here to plug Full Bloom Studios and all the great projects coming from that.
Yes.
And no, I don't have anything to speak of that I can speak of at this point in showbiz. You know, it's a very secretive industry,
yes.
which is an easy thing to say whether you've got nothing going on or a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a book. Maybe one day I'll finish it.
Ooh. Whoa. Is it called Basically I'm a Badass?
No, it's it's not. It's yes. Tentatively called My Star Wars Years. It's about my years as the editor of the official Star Wars fan magazine.
Wow.
All my adventures in the Star Wars universe. So I'm working on that.
Do you have an exciting foreword that you could tease?
A foreword? Like somebody who's writing the
yes,
foreword?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, Rob.
Oh my God. Nobody's ever asked me for that before.
No, nothing to do with Star Wars, but I think you might be the man for the job. Well, first I have to have a word on the page. First
yeah.
I have the word. And then
but,
I'll
well, maybe not a foreword. Maybe not a foreword. Maybe I could just
forward.
Write like an endorsement on the back of the book. That,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This book is so good.
Which one of these catchphrases could apply best to Star Wars? Like, does... like the Death Star is flawed.
Death Star was flawed.
Well, the queen stays queen, you know, could apply.
Mm-hmm. Queen Amidala stays queen.
She died, dude. I would like to see that, you know. What happened to Aunt Beru? And then Obi-Wan. She died, dude.
Oh, I think, well, I've been bamboozled can happen, right, when the whole, like, Order 66 thing has happened.
Absolutely, yes. One of the Jedi just turns before they get killed. I've been bamboozled. There's a lot there. Darth Vader, you know, could say, you're either with me or against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, who... Princess Leia could say, I don't know about that. Or, oh no, I'm against, oh no, it'd be, I'm against you.
Yeah,
Vader.
Then there could be something where, like, the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, right, where they're like, oh, I don't know if we should take on everyone at Hoth. Like, I say stick to the plan. Let's take it out. Red Nail standing by.
We're going to reverse this curse. I could, you know, I'd like to, I could see Lando pulling off Spin and Grin. I think he might be the only character
who puts on Han Solo's jacket.
Yeah. Spin and Grin. What have we here?
I would love to see Lando as a Survivor host. Come on in, guys.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Lando fan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what's coming up for
wow.
me.
That was so much.
There's so much there.
Yeah. All right.
So, you know, join me on Twitter and you can get more of that kind of excitement.
Mike, what's coming up for you?
Well, you just mentioned it, Rob, at the top. You and I and Shane and Gus talked about Survivor South Africa. We actually talked about some catchphrases there as well, because Survivor South Africa has utilized the catchphrases stay and play and give up and go.
Give
we
up
talked
and
a lot
go
about
put some suntan lotion on.
Exactly. So we talked about that as well as what has been a very fun season of Survivor so far. To bookend what Rob said at the beginning, check out Survivor South Africa if you haven't yet.
How is there somewhere legal that I can, or do we have to talk offline?
We got the hookup for you.
Somewhere, yes, legal. I don't know about that, but we can definitely talk about it offline.
Right, okay.
Other than that, doing stuff over on Post Show Recaps with Down the Hatch, covering Lost, with the Bloom Files as well. So a lot of things going on. Rob, you and I participated in Podcaster Mafia last week as well, which was a lot of fun. And we might be doing some other stuff with the patrons of RIJP coming up come July. So lots of fun stuff in the hopper.
Okay. Of course, that I was back this weekend on Robin and Giving You the Podcast. We worked on the Song of the Summer 21. Scott,
ooh,
if you haven't heard it yet, you're about to. Should be on all those
top 40 stations that you love so much that when you drive around listening to the FM radio, so you'll be
just
hearing
in time
it soon.
For summer.
Yeah.
Well, I'll hear it when it hits the Kids Bop station. But
yeah,
my daughter,
they're going to do a Kids Bop version.
That we play. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all happening, and then of course. I was back on the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up with Puya Zambakila. We had a lot of fun talking about a wild season of 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. Of course, I will be back talking about the 17th best season of Survivor this week. Of course, I sort of goofed here that this podcast is going up after you've already heard that podcast, but check that out.
Wow.
A lot of fun with Puya and Jenny on them. And then also check out back on News AF as well this week. So back to the full bore of it wasn't boring. The full schedule
might be Borat, aka Reem Daily,
the Reem of Survivor. Yeah.
And also, we have a brand new podcast called What's My Archetype that our own Hannah Shapiro, that she, from the mind of Hannah Lil Nessin, comes, Just My Archetype, where she's talking about different archetypes of Survivor with the actual players who define those archetypes.
That's so awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
I think after 20 years where like players are admittedly from casting and editing put into certain boxes, it's cool to hear from those players about how they feel about it, how they feel about certainly other people that have come after them that have been that same stereotype as well. So it's a really cool series, and I'm glad Hannah is undertaking it.
All right. Thank you so
much. Yeah, I'm just hoping they have another opening for a hunk when I'm in.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was such a great idea. It's so much fun to go through it.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for taking the idea and making my Outlist dreams come true.
All right. Thank you, everybody, so much for checking us out. And if you watch the video, thank you so much as well. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more fun here on Outwit Outplay Outlist. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Hyundai, makers of the all-new Hyundai Tucson, where they reimagined everything. Go ahead and learn more at Hyundai.com. And then also by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today.